Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
Correct. Technically proficient, Dr. Turner specializes in listening to every patient's concerns and feelings, and because Dr. Turner cares about you, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's offices are conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Auto industry sales numbers came in today. Sad stuff. Toyota, Honda, General Motors, Ford, and Chrysler sales were all down last month, especially Chrysler, which many people thought might surely go under or be swallowed by GM. It's just one reason President-elect Barack Obama says efforts must continue and accelerate to turn the recession around.
It's clear that we have to act, and we have to act now.
His additional stimulus plan, unofficially put at nearly $800 billion, may include $300 billion in tax cuts and incentives. There is a bright spot in the auto showrooms, by the way, from Consumer Reports. David Champion says Ford has risen near the top of the heap.
Vehicles like the Ford Fusion and Mercury Milan are more reliable than a Toyota Camry.
On Wall Street, the Dow today lost nearly 82 points. The Nasdaq was off about 4. Oil prices, nearly $48.50 a barrel. As Bernard Madoff went to court and a meeting was held on Capitol Hill on the alleged Ponzi scheme, members of Congress were asking the same thing Arnold Sinkin is asking in Boynton Beach. He lost his life savings.
Where the hell was the government? How could this all slip under the radar?
Madoff's lawyer and the prosecutor have been discussing bail. Prosecutors want Madoff's bail revoked because his wife sent some of her own jewelry and valuables to relatives, the idea being, they say, that relatives could raise money so Madoff could run. Two Senate seats may remain up in the air when swearing-in occurs tomorrow.
Senate Leader Harry Reid says he won't let Roland Burris be sworn in as senator, relying for now on the technicality that the Illinois Secretary of State won't sign the document confirming the governor's appointment.
We'll wait until we see if there is going to be certification from the state of Illinois.
There's also trouble with the Minnesota Senate seat. Democrat Al Franken won the recount.
The race in Minnesota is over.
Not so fast, says Republican Senate Leader Mitch McConnell.
The race in Minnesota is not over.
He says Franken can't become a senator until all legal challenges from Republican Norm Coleman are settled. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
President-elect Obama has made his coming nomination known for head of the CIA, former Congressman Leon Panetta. Analysts in the intelligence business are not impressed.
Mr. Panetta certainly is not, doesn't have a record that encourages you to believe that he has any particular talent to run the clandestine service of the United States.
CBS consultant, former CIA analyst Michael Scheuer, retired Admiral Dennis Blair has been tabbed as Panetta's boss, the director of national intelligence. You may remember the man who was not allowed onto a JetBlue plane due to the Arabic writing on his T-shirt until he agreed to cover it up. The word said, "We will not be silent."
The TSA officer told me wearing a T-shirt with Arabic letters and going to an airport is similar to going to a bank while wearing a T-shirt that reads, "I'm a robber."
Rayed Gerard sued. He's settling now for $240,000. This is CBS News.
You ever have one of those days where everything goes right? First, I get the best parking space at work. Tonight, I have a date with the very lovely Rachel. And today, I gave a killer presentation in Sydney, finalized the contract in London, and demoed our new product in Boston. Online, from my desk, with WebEx. WebEx lets me take meetings and give presentations from my desk. I just talk to clients on the phone, and they watch what's happening on my desktop from their desktop. So I can travel the world and still be here for my date tonight with Rachel.
Travel less, meet online. Go to WebEx.com and try WebEx free. Just click the radio graphic and enter promo code 505 to get a free trial and a free webcam, too. Remember that code, 505. To qualify for the free webcam, WebEx, now part of Cisco and used by more than 5.5 million people every month. Give it a try, free. Go to WebEx.com and enter the promo code 505. WEBEX.com. Free webcams available while supplies last. Terms and restrictions apply. See website for details.
A man was arrested today in Dayton, Ohio, for the murder of a woman in her home. The case was broken in part by the woman's 4-year-old little boy, who was found wandering around a nearby highway rest stop looking for help.
He knew where he lived. He knew his address. He knew his phone number. You know, he was very helpful. Luckily, he was a sharp young man.
Sheriff Phil Plummer, age 4, that young man with unusual clarity for his age, was able to tell them what had happened to his mom. No details on just how police were able to track down her alleged killer. The state of Georgia is considering a fundraising plan that would essentially put the state in the strip club business. State Senator Jack Murphy, who's a Republican, is suggesting a kind of state cover charge for patrons of strip clubs, $3 to $5 a head, with money going for child abuse and other programs to combat sexual exploitation of young people. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Hi, I'm Chris Johnson, Human Resources Manager, and I can tell you, as a leading tech company, we naturally use the web to find talent. My job is to find the brightest tech candidates. Dice.com has the most qualified and talented candidates out there. Because Dice focuses on technology and engineering, I save a lot of time and trouble sifting through thousands of resumes from sites that aren't relevant to our business. Usually we're looking for experienced software and hardware engineers, DBAs, storage engineers, project managers. We found over half our key hires through Dice.
Dice is the number one online technology job board. For over 17 years, Dice has focused exclusively on tech jobs. Post your open technology positions on Dice to access the best tech talent. Or search through thousands of resumes from qualified engineering and tech professionals from all across the country. Visit Dice.com. Dice.com.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to the first Peter B. Collins broadcast of the new year. Welcome to 2009, ready or not. I hope you had a nice holiday break. I did. I want to thank Stephanie Hendricks and Patrick Morrow for sitting in for me, and my able team, Nick Tannum and Katrina Rill, for holding down the fort in my absence. We've got loads to talk about because the world did not take a holiday as America observed ours. And particularly in the Gaza Strip, things are out of control. We'll go live to the region here in just a moment. Later this hour, we'll get commentary on these shores from Robert Dreyfus, who writes for The Nation magazine. And we'll also talk with him about the announcement today that Leon Panetta, a Californian who hails from Carmel Valley, which is the city of license of our flagship radio station, KRXA. Leon Panetta, former congressman, former White House chief of staff, named as CIA director. A very interesting surprise pick by Barack Obama. Also on today's program, we'll talk about the call by Bruce Fine and Ralph Nader for censure of Bush and Cheney. If we can't impeach him, well, we ought to censure them, and I'm all on board for that. We'll talk to Dick Kay, the political reporter in Chicago, about Rod Blagojevich and his pick of Roland Burris as the next United States senator. The Senate promising not to seat him, and a controversy certainly will ensue. Raed Jarar, who is an Iraqi who's appeared on our program on many occasions, got great news today. Actually, he got it a few days ago, but it broke in the news today. He has been awarded $240,000 by JetBlue Airlines and the Transportation Security Administration because of the way he was treated for being a Muslim and wearing a T-shirt with a message. We'll talk about that and the holiday hazing that some Muslims got on a different airline as they traveled here in the United States. And Cliff Schechter will join us in our final hour. We're going to talk about the news from Alaska. Bristol Palin had her baby. Al Franken's been declared the winner in Minnesota. And we'll talk about other issues with Cliff Schechter as well. You can join the conversation toll-free. Boston, we love hearing from you. We're live on AM 1510. Our toll-free number that works all across the country is 888-5-PETER-B. 888-5-4-8. 1-888-573-8372. Joining me now is Dr. Sonia Robbins, a medical doctor who has made many trips over the last few years into Gaza, and she is attempting to return to Gaza right now. As I understand it, she is talking to us from the Egypt side of the Rafah border crossing. Dr. Sonia Robbins, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Good afternoon.
Well, and thank you for staying up late to talk with us. It's difficult under the circumstances, but it's like 1 o'clock in the morning there, and I do appreciate you staying up to chat with us.
Okay, no problem.
Dr. Robbins, we're getting some very serious reports, some that people have emailed that were relayed from you, others from people who are inside Gaza, and also from news accounts, that particularly when it comes to medical care for the people who have been wounded, and the numbers are well into the hundreds now, that it's almost non-existent, that Israel has targeted hospitals as well as clinics, and that this has made it very difficult to care for those wounded and dying. What do you know about the situation, the medical situation, inside Gaza right now?
Well, I think it is dire, as you say. These events are coming after nearly 2 years of an ongoing siege on Gaza, where the medical supplies as well as humanitarian supplies of food and basic food has not been getting in as it should to Gaza. So already the hospital started off before this present incursion with very low supplies, low resources in the stores. And now, as I understand it, I'm not inside, as you say, Gaza, but I have talked to some of my colleagues. They are running out of basic bandages. They're running out of anesthetic. You make the statement about targeting of hospitals. I have no exact details on that, but I do know a mosque in one hospital was certainly hit, and it damaged some part of the hospital, or the windows were blown out.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly medics, at least one medic and two paramedics have been injured and killed, one at least doctor and one at least paramedic, in carrying out their duties within ambulances and outside in the last 2 days one of those events happened.
And, Doctor, a front-page story on today, Monday's New York Times, authored by Tagreed El-Khodari with a dateline of Gaza City, reports a remarkable number of amputations, that the injuries that are being sustained from shrapnel and other wounds are leading to rather drastic surgeries here. And I'm curious if any theories have surfaced about certain types of munitions that are being used or tactics that are being used that are producing these kinds of very serious injuries to civilians.
Well, this has always been the case in Gaza. In September of 2006, in March of this year, and you're right, in this particular event, there's always been a high number of amputees, both some people with both legs, some people with an arm and both legs, some of whom don't survive from the sheer nature of the amputation. Some appear to have some other kind of injuries have happened in the past. I haven't seen the present event, the present injuries, but certainly there is a high level of amputee rate in all of the incursions that have happened. But there's been no definite proof of exactly what this is. It is very difficult, obviously, to make any forensic examination, etc., in these circumstances.
Indeed. And here is a report that was retailed from Suhelia Tarazi, director of the Ahi Arab Hospital in Gaza.
Quote, in the north, yeah.
The situation is terrible. The injured are in their homes, unable to get to the hospital. The International Red Cross can't reach them. Gaza is now divided into three areas. 20% of the staff, including two doctors, are now unable to get to the hospital. A bomb went off in Jerusalem Square, right outside the hospital. Only 30 meters away, it blew a hole in the wall. One of the aide's husbands was unable to reach his children. Later, he discovered that one child died. Others, members of the family, are injured because a bomb destroyed a neighboring building. The 19-year-old son of one of the surgeons volunteered to work in the government ambulance. He was killed when his ambulance was hit by a missile. Three ambulances have been hit by Israeli missiles, and five have died. There is no electricity, no water. The IRC has provided Ahi Hospital with some food. After the invasion, the hospital received 17 cases. 12 12 admitted to the hospital, two to government hospitals. Monday morning, five new people were admitted, four for surgery. One doctor has slept in the hospital the last four nights. Staff is working 12-hour shifts. The streets are covered with blood. And an ambulance driver has taken in 80 people to live in his home. This depicts, hopefully for people, the very dire nature of this situation. And as you alluded, Doctor, they've been in essentially locked down like a huge prison camp for many years, and Israel's had a chokehold over economic supplies, over the ability of people to leave in order to go to work. And so with this latest military assault, it really is highly disproportionate. And if we look only at the fatalities, we are maintaining a grisly 5-to-1 ratio, 5 Palestinians killed for every Israeli who's been killed in this current altercation.
And you mentioned the asymmetry, as it's been termed, of the fight in itself or whatever's going on. And I would call when you listen in the West or when you listen in America, you think you hear of an F-16 rocket and you hear of a rocket coming back from Palestine. But the rockets are in themselves. One is a handmade rocket being fired, made at home, made with some TNT, and we all know a firework can kill. And I call these fireworks by comparison to an F-16 and helicopter rocket ships. And that's the kind of asymmetry that is happening here.
And
this is not an armed army. This is a few people trying to resist people taking over their land and where they live.
And Dr. Robinson, a dispatch that you sent, I believe, earlier today, you reported seeing as many as a dozen ambulances pass at your point there in Rafah, Egypt, but not one of them had a patient in it.
This is what I understood. They came out fairly late in the afternoon. We'd been waiting with a colleague who'd been actually waiting for more days, a day or two more than I have. And I asked, well, who's in there? And I was told that they were empty. And they're empty because there's no safe passage for patients who are waiting on the Palestinian side to cross over where the particular area of incursion has gone on today. There has been bombings around Rafah again, and there's no safe passage for ambulances, which is supposed to be provided both by Israel and Egypt in this kind of conflict. International law, I'm not sure if it's laws, but expectation is that there is safe passage for ambulances and for the injured to be treated.
Doctor, tell us what you're encountering here as you attempt to re-enter Gaza from Egypt. Is Egypt, in your view, supporting Israel in blockading the southern border of Gaza?
I think there's little doubt that we're not being allowed in either humanitarian aid, which there has been some getting in, but there's no doubt that there are problems getting in. We have not got in. And in a situation like this, that we shouldn't be asked to have any coordination. I don't see any reason why Israel should be giving permission, and if that's where the permission is being held up at this point anyway. This is not a normal situation. Humanitarian aid and any aid workers should be allowed in automatically. There should not be any question that you need some kind of coordination, even really with your embassies or with Egypt. I mean, this is a crisis. This is not an ordinary event where maybe you should be going through your embassies, maybe you should go through an Egyptian authority. This is a crisis. And I think Egypt is not doing what it could, no.
Right.
How much of that is Israeli control? There are many reports that suggest Israel has a significant control over all of the crossings. You know, whether it's the sea, the international waters that Gaza has, whether it's this border in Rafah, which effectively should be purely under Egyptian control, did have a UN peacekeeping force at one time, but even there were definite evidences that Israel was controlling whether that border was open.
Dr. Robbins, we need to take a break. We'll return in a moment, and I want to talk to you about the remarkable effort of the Free Gaza Movement and the ship with doctors and medical supplies, an American former congresswoman, and they were intercepted in international waters and rammed by an Israeli gunboat last week. We'll talk about that as we continue. If you have a question or comment, don't wait. Call me now at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. Thanks for listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. We'll be right back.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Visit our website at KRXA540.com.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hi, this is Sheila Gale with The Sheila Show, Saturdays from 3 to 5. For the next few weeks, college basketball will be airing during my show. So please, if you tune in on Saturdays and hear basketball, you can hear me on Sundays from 3 to 5. The Sheila Show, where we talk about everything and help you get through life's toughest challenges. The Sheila Show, brought to you by Cornerstone Wellness Center on Cass Street in Monterey. Remember, if you tune in and hear basketball from 3 to 5 on Saturday, I'll be on Sunday, 3 to 5. The Sheila Show.
Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero and Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell. Putting the service back in service stations.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following The Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after The Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, PattyRossCarmel.com.
Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. Lines available? You can always email me, Peter at PeterBCollins.com. Our toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. Dr. Sonia Robbins, a British medical doctor who is at the border crossing there in Rafah, Egypt, trying to get in via the southern border there of Gaza to lend her hand at this very difficult time, with hundreds of people killed, over 500 reported killed so far on the Palestinian side. Some five Israelis have been declared dead as a result of this exchange as well. And Dr. Robbins, as you see this, what are you trying to do, and how can Americans who hear this broadcast try to help you?
I think it's not me they need to help. I think it's the explaining to people that they meet what's going on, and that it should not continue. This is a civilian population largely. They've been under, as we've already said, some kind of siege that's increased, and they have a serious malnutrition amongst their children, serious disturbance. And I know this happens also in Sderot. They also, this is the Jewish place that captures a number of the rockets that come over, or fireworks that come over from Palestine. But by no means is it the same amount that happens to them. So I would say particularly it's the Palestinians that are suffering here, obviously. And really this needs to stop.
Mm-hmm.
There needs to be a cessation of the violence. There needs to be a serious talk towards peace, and it to be shown to be carried out by both sides, and in particular by the Israeli side. The Israelis have not put into practice many of the agreements from 1994 peace process. Even now in the West Bank, it carries on. This must be addressed. The truth of the matter must be addressed, and then the people themselves allowed to decide how to proceed from here. But nothing can happen until you end the occupation, you end the siege, and at this particular point, you end the violence, the particular incursion that's going on.
And, Doctor...
And the Americans can help best with that by lobbying, by talking to their Jewish friends, and by suggesting that their money is not given to Israel to carry out these atrocities.
Mm-hmm. Before the break, I referenced the work of the Free Gaza Movement, and one of their ships was bound from Cyprus to Gaza City, to the port of Gaza, last week. It was intercepted by an Israeli gunboat, and we got better coverage of it because there was actually a CNN crew and former Congresswoman, American Cynthia McKinney, on board the ship. Nonetheless, Israel just rammed this boat in international waters and has given, shall we say, accounts that don't square with those of the people who were on board the ship. So it appears that Israel at least wants to handpick any humanitarian efforts that are permitted to address the problems that they've helped create there in Gaza.
Well, one of the comments that I heard on that particular event, when they finally said that it was a humanitarian boat, was that it wasn't a very big one. It wasn't carrying significant supplies. But I think that's hardly relevant in these circumstances. Any attempt to get there must be recognized. If it's humanitarian, they must be allowed in.
Yeah.
And they are consistently stopping any attempt. There have been other boats that have wanted to come. They have been given opportunity to search, certainly the Free Gaza one. They're allowed to, they've been invited but never come, as I understand it, in Cyprus. And it clearly is carrying only humanitarian, and there is should be no concern from Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's in international waters crossing into Gaza waters, they should have no interference with it.
Here's a comment from a listener. This is John in Carmel Valley. Hello, John. You're on the air on the Peter B. Collins Show.
I'm one of those people that used to be, up until about 95, about as staunch a supporter of Israel. It wasn't anything Israel could do that I wouldn't support. I have switched about as completely as a person could on this. It was reports on the BBC in the late 90s, and then the Intifada thing, and then just getting finally informed as to how lopsided and how awful this whole, and how what an effective, super effective propaganda machine Israel has for making it seem like it's all the fault of the Palestinians.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they operate in victim mode a lot of the time, and I understand the complexities of the situation, and anybody who hurled missiles into my backyard would certainly get my attention. But
who's trying to take over whose backyard?
Right. And you know, people, when you hear the explanations, they never go back to the origins of the conflict. They want to pick some point where they jump in and say, well, see, Israel's responding to that provocation. But it's much more complex than that. And, Doctor, we're running out of time here. What are your final thoughts or comments for our listeners?
I think to be very careful what you do here. Livni, the foreign minister, was quoted as saying, or was on the television saying, that this was not a humanitarian crisis.
Yeah.
You have UN and other well-known organizations calling it a humanitarian crisis before this incursion.
Dr. Sonia Robbins, thank you very much from Rafah, Egypt.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File. Dave Ross in for Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network. Senate leaders are sticking to their promise not to seat Roland Burris as Barack Obama's replacement. Except, well, maybe not.
I'm an old trial lawyer. There's always room to negotiate.
More after this.
When my son started having behavior problems, the total transformation techniques were like the instruction manual on how to deal with him. We got immediate results.
Ever wish your kid came with an instruction manual when he's disrespectful, defiant, or even abusive? Do you know how to fix it? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'll show you how to change your child's behavior right now with the Total Transformation. The program that helps you fix every behavior problem under the sun. Defiance, backtalking, lying, acting out in school, even problems with ADD and ADHD. There's no screaming, no fighting, no frustration. The Total Transformation is the program I've used for over 30 years to solve even the worst behavior problems. Your child will listen to you again, and you'll get peace and sanity back into your home. I guarantee it.
Call now and get How to Turn Your Child's Attitude Around in 1 minute or less free with your order. 1-800-591-5039. 1-800-591-5039. Call now. 1-800-591-5039. 1-800-591-5039.
When Illinois Governor Rob Blagojevich appointed Roland Burris to fill Barack Obama's Senate seat, senators vowed this would not stand. They would exercise their constitutional authority to determine who sits in the Senate. On NBC's Meet the Press, Majority Leader Harry Reid was adamant.
Mr. Burris is tainted, not as a result of anything that he's done wrong. I don't know a thing wrong with Mr. Burris. It's not the person that has been appointed, it's the appointee.
It's not the person that has been appointed, it's the appointee. Aren't they the same? But then I'm not surprised he'd be confused. Here's a would-be senator who is enthusiastically embracing the supposedly tainted appointment, even to the point of appearing at the New Covenant Missionary Baptist Church last night to claim divine intervention.
The Lord put his hands on the governor and said, this is the person that has to go to Washington, and that appointment is legal.
The Lord does have a habit of choosing imperfect messengers to do his will. And while Roland Burris may not have the Senate's endorsement, he has a growing chorus of endorsements from black leaders who are convinced that the Senate needs at least one black member. Plus, he has it on good authority that there is no one better suited to the job.
They couldn't send a better person to Washington to represent the 13 million people of the state of Illinois than myself.
No wonder Harry Reid is having second thoughts.
There's always room to negotiate.
I know that it's every young reporter's dream to go to Washington. But I have to think that after the last few weeks, that it's every Washington reporter's dream to go to Illinois. The Osgood File, Dave Ross, on the CBS Radio Network.
There's more than one side to every issue. In fact, there's usually more than two sides. On Thursday nights from 9 to 11, we examine issues from every angle on our show called A Different Perspective. Sometimes we have guests bring a viewpoint that isn't often heard elsewhere. Other times, we'll discuss our different perspectives on the issue of the day. Either way, call in and give us your different perspective. Join us, Mark Leonard, Tony Rudy, Billy Sunshine, and me, Jack Hart, on A Different Perspective, Thursday nights at 9, here on KRXA 540.
Friday, 8:11 a.m.
Very disturbed by your position about Ralph Nader. I think he's anything but an egomaniac, and I feel that your attitude is extremely ignorant of progressive politics, the need for other parties to combat the corporate hold on Democrats and Republicans, and it's ridiculous to say Ralph Nader should be fighting within the Democratic Party. Corporations have taken over our country. Hello, wake up, Hal.
End of messages.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
All the world over, so easy to see. People everywhere just want to be free.
I oppose occupation.
That's the way it should be. Deep in the valley, people got to be free.
I oppose Israel's occupation of Palestine. I oppose Britain's occupation of Northern Ireland. And I continue to oppose the United States' occupation of Iraq. Not too fond of what we're doing in Afghanistan either.
Everyone learned how to live together.
And when it comes to the issues of the nation of Israel, many Americans have their minds made up. Many people are very hardened. Regardless of what occurs, they have a predetermined position. And at a conflict time like this, I like to restate some basic notions. I am not a supporter of Hamas, or for that matter, Hezbollah, in Lebanon. I'm also not a supporter of Israel's occupation of Gaza and the West Bank. I would like to see the United States act as an honest broker, as President Clinton did, and going all the way back to Jimmy Carter, as our presidents have, trying to find a way for these warring parties to share this territory. And so when you hear me present guests like Dr. Sonia Robbins talking about the humanitarian crisis that springs from Israel's military assault on this tiny ghetto area, please understand that my first inclination is to stop the carnage, to try to protect human life of all kinds. And second, in a situation like this, I call for Israel to show restraint. And that does not mean that I believe they have no recourse when missiles are launched from Palestinian territory into civilian areas of Israel. But likewise, it is no excuse that because Gaza is essentially a residential area, if you can call it that, that by default, Hamas, its soldiers, their weapons, are not behind a fence that says, Army of Hamas, Army of Palestine. And I understand that that makes it difficult for Israel to try to deal with the provocation they see. But I believe it's shameful, but not unexpected, that the Bush administration is once again only siding with Israel and trying to portray this as all the fault of Hamas. Robert Dreyfus joins us now. He writes for The Nation magazine, and you can read his blog, The Dreyfus Report, at thenation.com. And a book he wrote a couple of years ago, Devil's Game, How the United States Helped Unleash Fundamentalist Islam, is a good reference for this discussion. Bob Dreyfus, welcome back to our program today.
Thanks so much. Glad to be here.
And I was inspired by the comments I just made by a paragraph in a post that you wrote and put up on January 4th called Bush's Last War Crime. And it is important at a time like this because people's sensitivities are heightened and their defense mechanisms are also very, very well oiled to reestablish some of the baseline points here. And, Bob, just because you are sharply critical of the Bush administration for its support of Israel in this current altercation, it cannot be imputed that somehow you're soft on terrorism or that you're secretly rooting for Hamas or Hezbollah or any other group arrayed against a government.
No, it's just a question of proportionality, which is the word that the Israelis hate to hear in these situations. We heard it 2 years ago when there was a minor border incident in the northern section of Israel along the Lebanese border, and they rumbled into Lebanon and killed about 1,000 people and almost laid waste to the southern half of that country. Now we're seeing it in Gaza. It's interesting that just before this attack was launched about 10 days ago, when the Israeli bombing campaign started, the Mossad had determined that Hamas was simply trying to make a show of force with these rockets, which almost overwhelmingly fall in remote, uninhabited areas.
Mm-hmm.
and then use this kind of macho show of force to renegotiate the ceasefire on more favorable terms. you don't have to be a supporter of Hamas to understand that Israel could have held back and responded perhaps by bombing some of the rocket sites and leaving it there, to be critical of Israel, to say that they should have restrained themselves. And in any case, Israel has its interests and the United States has its interests, and they're not necessarily the same. So it's the United States' job to be an even-handed broker in this situation,
mm-hmm.
not in regard to Hamas, although I think it's long past time when we ought to be talking to Hamas, but in regard to the larger Palestinian issue, where it's going to take, and everybody knows this, some actual pressure on Israel from Washington for the Israelis to agree to the lines of the peace terms, which everybody knows pretty much what they are. For it's going to take that pressure on the Israelis to get them to accept those terms.
Mm-hmm. And our friend Robert Scheer published a column recently asking the question, you know, why did Israel decide to do this at this time and not allow the Obama administration to take office, develop new policies toward the region? Let me hear your thoughts on this. But for me, it's the bad example set by George W. Bush that we engaged in unilateral military action of dubious value and based on dubious causes. And I believe that Israel, with Olmert disabled politically on his way out, he's really just a caretaker at this point, and Bush, the lamest of lame ducks, they chose this moment, knowing that there would be little, if any, resistance from the United States.
Yeah, well, Israel has, going back to 1956, when they attacked the Suez Canal unilaterally and without any provocation, Israel has a long history of engaging in unilateral attacks, but I think you're absolutely right that in this case, they wanted to create some facts for Obama to deal with because they knew that they would get Bush's support, both diplomatically and at the United Nations, but also I'm sure if they need it, you know, resupplying Israel militarily.
Mm-hmm.
They knew they'd have that in their back pocket. But going forward, as Obama becomes president, they've now created an excruciating dilemma for him because he's got to either come into office in 2 weeks and reverse this support and say, we don't accept this Israeli action in Gaza. We want them to halt the operation and pull back and sit down and talk. Or he's going to have to vote at the United Nations, as Bush does, to oppose any kind of resolution against Israel. And in that case, it's going to poison Obama's future relations with the Muslim world, which is something he was priding himself on, to say,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to, you know, go to some Islamic capital, maybe Cairo, and give a big speech about how I want to reboot our relationship with the entire Muslim world, that we're not going to have a war on terrorism anymore. And all of that is now at risk because when he comes into office, he's likely, I believe, going to end up pretty strongly supporting what Israel is doing, which will dig him a deep hole that he has to then subsequently climb out of over the next 4 years.
I think you're right, and I hope you're wrong.
Yeah, well, I always hope I'm wrong, but dang it.
Let's talk to Andy calling from New York. Welcome, Andy. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Robert Dreyfus.
Hi, Peter. Hi, Mr. Dreyfus.
Yeah, hi, Andy.
This is like shooting fish in a barrel. Man, what a war crime. What an ultimate atrocity. And I want to know, why aren't there investigations of what undercover meddling the U.S. was doing to give Hamas power after they won 56% of the parliamentary seats in Gaza, and then the U.S. Orchestrated a coup with Fatah to take out Hamas, and ends up Hamas won the little civil war that they had with Fatah, and then they get 100% control, and then the U.S., you know, won't touch them, and they do this embargo to just strangle them economically.
Well, Andy,
why are there investigations of that?
Andy, you have just summarized the twists that we have been through in just the last 3 years, where the U.S. supported the elections that Fatah wanted to postpone, that resulted in the electoral gains you cited for Hamas, and then Israel, with the support of the United States, responded to this outburst of democracy by cracking down, cutting off money and supplies and access for Palestinians. And it really set the stage for this showdown that we're seeing right now. And, Bob Dreyfus, to what extent is Israel trying to eliminate Hamas through this military incursion back into Gaza?
Well, I think the Israelis know full well they can't eliminate Hamas. The problem here is the roadblock always in trying to fix this problem is that the extremists can easily win by provoking the extremists on the other side. In this last few months, Hamas's popularity had been declining rapidly. According to one poll, their support was down to something like 17% among Palestinians.
That's Cheney levels.
Yeah, and most Palestinians are you know, fairly educated and sophisticated, and they voted for Hamas 3 years ago as a protest vote, not because they had suddenly become ultra-religious Muslim conservatives like Hamas is, certainly not because they all were terrorists, but they voted for Hamas as a protest vote, and it barely won, by the way. It was a very close vote, even though they ended up getting most of the parliamentary seats. So I think Hamas decided to end this ceasefire in December and shoot off rockets and make a big fuss as a way of showing how militant they are to out-militant the other side. And what they may not have realized, or maybe they did, is that they were firing these rockets into the middle of an Israeli election season in which the Israeli politicians were trying to out-hawk each other.
Yeah.
And so you have the right-wing but relatively moderate government under Prime Minister Olmert and Foreign Minister Livni, who's now leading that rump party that Ariel Sharon founded.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that government decides to out-hawk the real hawks, the Bibi Netanyahu Likud bloc,
mm-hmm.
by blitzkrieging into Gaza. It's Israeli politics that's driving this, and it's Palestinian politics that's driving Hamas. And I think in the end, we're likely to see Hamas getting stronger, not weaker, as a result of this attack. And radicalism, unfortunately, growing throughout the region, from Palestine to Egypt to the Gulf, strengthening Iran's influence, all of that because Israel is inflaming Muslim public opinion. So it makes that much harder for the new President Obama to come in and say, let's reason together.
Andy, thanks for another thoughtful and well-informed call. I appreciate it, and I want to direct you to thenation.com. Right there at the top is Bob Dreyfus' latest article called Bush's Last War Crime, and it dovetails precisely with the sentiments you were expressing. So take a look at that, okay?
Gotcha.
All right, Andy, thank you very much. We'll continue with Robert Dreyfus in just a moment, and we're going to talk about, well, an appointment that surprised me. California's own Leon Panetta, former congressman, budget director, White House chief of staff in the Clinton era. He's been named as director of the Central Intelligence Agency. We'll chew that over with Bob Dreyfus, and you can call in, too, at 888-5-PETER-B. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
At KRXA 540, we'd like to take this opportunity to wish you and your loved ones the very best during this holiday season. From all of us to all of you, happy holidays.
Hi, I'm Debbie LaSala from LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli at 250 Casa Verde Way in Monterey. Buy Right has been a family-owned Monterey Bay treasure since 1938. Hungry for delicious sandwiches? Join the many LaSala regulars who love our tasty, hearty sandwiches prepared with fresh-baked Palermo bread. Eat in or grab on the run at LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli. Whatever your choice, we at LaSala's will greet you with Mon Pa hospitality and truly awesome meals. And remember, sandwich trays are also available for meetings and parties. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli is located on the west side of Highway 1, exiting at 250 Casa Verde Way and going just past the first stop sign. For more information, call 372-6824. That's 372-6824. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli, a Mon Pa treasure at your service for 70 years.
My name is R.J. Moyer, President of Family Heritage Management Services. I am a retirement specialist, and I protect my clients' money, and I can guarantee an income for life. We don't recommend stocks, mutual funds, or variable annuities. These are risky securities. With securities, you have unlimited upside, but you also have unlimited downside. Our clients do not lose money in negative markets. Do you have a multi-generational IRA? Why not? It's been your right since 2001. Don't let Uncle Sam be your biggest beneficiary because your banker or broker is sleeping at the wheel. Call us right now at 831-794-8485 to receive your free brochure. We will then set up your free IRA and retirement checkup in our Salinas location. Call 831-794-8485. It's a new market, and it's time for a change. Call 831-794-8485. If you transfer your IRA, 401k, or any of your retirement accounts today, we will add 10% to your full account value. $100,000 becomes $110,000, $400,000 becomes $440,000, $700,000 becomes $770,000. It's a new market. It's time for a change. Call 831-794-8485.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning right here on AM 540.
If you love KRXA 540, show your support for our radio station by placing a bumper sticker on the bumper of your vehicle. Click on the bumper sticker at KRXA540.com and think for yourself.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, 9 minutes in front of the hour. Thanks for joining us today. Your calls and comments are always welcome at 888-5-PETER-B. And a shout-out to our new listeners in Boston on AM 1510. It's good to have you with us. And you can email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com. Or should you disagree with your humble host, try Big Mouth at peterbcollins.com. I just tested it recently. It'll reach me. Robert Dreyfus continues. His Dreyfus Report is online and updated faster than Who Shot Bob over at thenation.com. And Bob, I was caught by surprise today because I've been waiting for the Obama nominations for the spook jobs, the Director of National Intelligence and the CIA. And I was concerned we were going to get another Gates, a holdover or an insider who was part of the problem during the Bush era. So it was with some surprise that Leon Panetta, a man I know from his days as a Central Coast congressman here in California, he was once a Republican, and a lot of people don't know that, but he was a Republican who changed parties to get elected to Congress in California, served about 15 years, headed up the budget negotiations. They sent members of Congress out to Andrews Air Force Base there in the early 90s to try to resolve the problems. That was at the end of Bush 1 and early in the Clinton era. Then he became Clinton's Office of Management and Budget Director and finally White House Chief of Staff. He and his wife Sylvia have been running the Panetta Institute in Carmel and Carmel Valley over the last few years. And he did serve on a few commissions, including the Iraq Study Group a few years back. But frankly, I was surprised to see his name surface here. How about you?
Yeah, well, I was surprised, but more interestingly, the CIA was surprised. And, of course, they're the people who aren't supposed to be surprised by anything. But once again, the CIA is caught off guard by some development out of the blue, this one coming in to run the place. I don't think it's a good choice, although, you know, in a way, anybody you pick for the intelligence job is going to be a bad choice because most people don't like the dirty work they do. But I think it's a bad choice for several reasons. First of all, you know, he's somebody who's a know-nothing. He doesn't know intelligence. And I think he's going to have a very steep learning curve. I mean, the Obama people are saying, oh, well, during the White House when he was chief of staff there, he was a consumer of intelligence. So that's like saying, you know, I buy computer equipment, so you wouldn't want me fixing your laptop, you know.
Well, and we took you out of running for the AutoZar job just as it disappeared.
Yeah, that would have been a bad one for me, too. And second of all, it's a bad idea to pick a politician to run the CIA. That's what George Bush did when he picked Porter Goss a couple of years ago, back in the election season of 06.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want somebody who's going to politicize the agency, and don't laugh. It's not actually supposed to be politicized. It often is, but I can't see the logic of picking a politician for that job. And the idea that he, you know, was picked because he's opposed to torture and so forth. I mean, that ought to be like the starting point, not mm-hmm. the end point. You know,
yeah.
There were actually hundreds of former CIA people and quite a number of current ones who were appalled by the torture regime there. And any one of them would have been an insider who was not part of this black mark on the agency. So there's a lot of people I think that Obama could have picked with experience. And you know, he's going to be working under the other shoe that dropped today is apparently he's going to pick Admiral Dennis Blair as the head of the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, which is the CIA director's boss now. It's one of those agencies that Obama ought to just abolish. But that pushes the whole intelligence community further, deeper into the camp of the Pentagon, of the military, because Obama now has a former military man running his intelligence community. And I don't know if Panetta has the knowledge or fortitude to stand up to the Pentagon, which is what you have to do in order to ensure civilian primacy in the intelligence community. It's not supposed to be a military-dominated system, and yet it has been for the last 15 years, basically. There have been more and more encroachment by the military into the intelligence domain. And part of the result of that is the CIA is increasingly oriented toward providing intelligence to the military,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to being kind of a big news agency to inform the president, which is really what its legitimate function is. So I don't know. I am surprised by the Panetta thing. I did a big profile of him back in the 90s, you know, he's a real centrist. He's a mm-hmm. relentless centrist. You mentioned that he started out as a Republican. He actually worked for the Nixon administration for a while, but they fired him because he wasn't racist enough. No, that's true.
His skill set, you know, is very impressive. He is a conciliator. He's a consensus builder. But like you, I question whether that's the right fit for this job at this time. And I also agree that putting a man who is, has a long track record as a Democrat, notwithstanding his origins, that this will cause resistance at the agency. And what we want, what I would like to see is the agency moving forward, and as Obama would say, turning the page from the Bush era. This may actually complicate that process.
Well, the one hopeful thing is he's a budget hawk, so maybe he'll cut the budget of the CIA, which would be a very useful thing to do. It has expanded incredibly since 2001. I think the budget for the CIA back in 2001 was something around, for the whole intelligence community, was around $29 billion, and it's now up to nearly 60.
Right.
So it's approximately doubled in 7 years. And talk about cutting fat. I could probably get $10 or $15 billion out of there without even, you know,
just lay off a couple of contractors. Well, Bob, thank you very much, and I appreciate your comments today. It's always good to talk with you.
Thanks, Peter, always.
Robert Dreyfus from TheNation.com. Go and read his blog, The Dreyfus Report. Brad Friedman will join us with the great news about Al Franken going to the United States Senate. That's next.
Are you tired of paying $100 an hour for computer support just for the prompt to return? Hi, I'm Luke Ford, founder and CEO of My Computer Works. Whenever you have a major computer catastrophe or a simple question, give my U.S.-based computer technicians a call, and they'll remotely connect your computer and fix the problem for you. It's safe, secure, and you won't have to let a stranger into your home. Call now to receive 1 month of service free with a membership. Now let's hear from some of our satisfied customers.
They cleaned up the computer, and I sat there and watched everything going on. I was just having a ball.
So the convenience of having My Computer Works connect to my computer right then, fix it for me immediately, is priceless.
I was having a lot of major problems with my computer, and they basically evaluated the computer and went through and eliminated the problems I was having.
Call My Computer Works now, toll free, 888-629-9618. That's 888-629-9618. 888-629-9618.
My Computer Works. Does yours?
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Al Franken is declared the winner but still faces a fight.
The race in Minnesota is not over.
Barack Obama wants to hit the ground running with a stimulus package.
The economy is bad. The situation is getting worse.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney.
With tremendous gratitude for the victory that we have won, I'm ready to get to work.
Democrat Al Franken, after the Minnesota Canvassing Board certified him as the winner by just 225 votes in the Senate race with Republican incumbent Norm Coleman. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid says it's time to move on.
Al Franken has won, and based upon any of the allegations that Senator Coleman's made, there's no way he can catch up. That race is over.
But Minority Leader Mitch McConnell says not so fast.
It is safe to say that the election in Minnesota has not yet been determined. I think it is also safe to say that it needs to be decided in Minnesota and not in the United States Senate.
In Minnesota, Coleman's planning a court challenge. CBS News Chief Legal Analyst Andrew Cohen.
The burden now is all on Coleman's lawyers to prove that the election officials who have been working for the past 2 months to get these results made enough mistakes so as to have generated the wrong winner. That's tough because judges typically are willing to support the good faith efforts of public officials to use their discretion in counting votes.
The man appointed by Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich to fill Barack Obama's Senate seat went to Washington today determined to be sworn in.
Illinois is need to have a full complement of representation, and that's what I'm seeking to do.
Majority Leader Reid has left the door open for a compromise, possibly seating Burris with the understanding he won't seek re-election when the term expires next year. Now this.
Two drivers, two very different stories heading home on a dark evening.
I hit the open road. A deer popped out of nowhere. I panicked.
I saw a deer in the road. I slowed down.
I jerked the wheel. I wish I could have seen it.
I drove around it and was home before the next song on the radio.
With Silver Star headlights from Sylvania, you'll see more of the road ahead. Remember, headlights dim over time. Replace them before you are left in the dark. Visit your automotive retailer and choose the whitest, brightest light. Silver Star headlights from Sylvania.
I'm here to tell you that Geico.com is easy to use. I bet you already knew that. A website that's convenient and fast. Well, really, had no idea. Of course it's fast and easy. Now, allow me to go off script and tell you why Geico.com is so great. First, you can get a free rate quote right then and there. You can update your policy, make a payment, even report and track a claim. There's the news. There's the big aha. Sorry, just had to get it off my chest.
For a free rate quote, visit Geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
While his daughters started their new school today, President-elect Barack Obama went to Capitol Hill where he urged passage of a big economic stimulus package by the 1st of February.
It's clear that we have to act, and we have to act now to address this crisis and break the momentum of the recession, or the next few years could be dramatically worse.
More from CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss.
Mr. Obama told congressional leaders they have to act swiftly and boldly to boost the economy with a package of new spending and tax cuts that could reach $1 trillion. Republicans at the meeting say they'll work with Democrats, and GOP Senate leader Mitch McConnell say they certainly like the proposal for quick tax cuts.
That clearly is appealing to virtually all Republicans from Maine to Mississippi.
But Republicans aren't so happy with the spending part of the proposed stimulus bill and say they'll be putting forward their own ideas about that. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
As expected, major automakers report dismal sales in 2008. Chrysler's off 30% from the year before. Industry analyst Chubba Chera.
There's not a lot of showroom traffic, and until the economy starts improving, people's desire to actually go in and buy a new car is going to be greatly diminished.
Only Subaru bucked the trend. Its U.S. sales rose slightly, even as other Japanese carmakers lost ground. The president-elect's choice for CIA director is Leon Panetta, who was Bill Clinton's White House chief of staff.
My first response was, wow.
CBS News national security consultant Raymond Tanter.
Leon Panetta does have a reputation as a competent manager, and he's big on budgets, but I don't think he knows as much about the intelligence operations as many of the professionals.
The first reaction from Dianne Feinstein, incoming chairwoman of the Senate Intelligence Committee, was to complain that she hadn't been consulted. In a statement, she said the CIA is best served by having an intelligence professional in charge. Mr. Obama says he's getting daily briefings on the situation in the Middle East, but refuses to comment publicly because he's not president yet. Israel expanded its offensive in Gaza today, vowing not to stop until Hamas stops firing rockets. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
You ever have one of those days where everything goes right? First, I get the best parking space at work. Tonight, I have a date with the very lovely Rachel. And today, I gave a killer presentation in Sydney, finalized a contract in London, and demoed our new product in Boston. Online, from my desk, with WebEx. WebEx lets me take meetings and give presentations from my desk. I just talk to clients on the phone, and they watch what's happening on my desktop from their desktop. So I can travel the world and still be here for my date tonight with Rachel.
Travel less, meet online. Go to WebEx.com and try WebEx free. Just click the radio graphic and enter promo code 505 to get a free trial and a free webcam, too. Remember that code, 505, to qualify for the free webcam. WebEx, now part of Cisco and used by more than 5.5 million people every month. Give it a try, free. Go to WebEx.com and enter the promo code 505, WEBEX.com. Free webcams available while supplies last. Terms and restrictions apply. See website for details.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
This hour on the Peter B. Collins Show, we take a closer look at two of the Senate races that were not resolved on Election Day. One is the contested seat in Illinois, where embattled Governor Rod Blagojevich made a pick last week. And we're going to talk with Dick Kay, the veteran Chicago political reporter, about half an hour from now. And things are lurching toward finality. I have to use my lingo very carefully here. In the great state of Minnesota, where it appears that Al Franken is currently up by 225 votes in this election and recount that has been underway since November 4th, almost 3 million voters went to the polls or cast a ballot in some manner on Election Day, and it has been quite a recount process there. It's early in the week, but we track down Brad Friedman, who's on the road, the citizen journalist, proprietor of bradblog.com, and we're happy to start off the new year with you. Brad, how you doing?
I'm doing well, sir. How are you?
Not too bad. And where do we find you in your travels?
You find me in New Mexico today, where we are, of course, investigating Bill Richardson, as long as we're here.
Well, call him up and see if he'll invite you over. It's interesting. Way back in 2005, when he was thinking about running for president in 2008, he came to San Francisco, and I was a part of a group of people invited to lunch to give him free advice. And I asked him for some restaurant tips in Santa Fe, because I was on my way there a couple of weeks later. And he said, oh, come on by. And I had 11 members of my family, from my mother down to a niece, three generations. And we all showed up in his office, and he was a very nice guy. There was no evidence of pay-to-play in the work that went on, but he did do some stuff while we were there. He spoke in Spanish to the governor of a state in Mexico, and he was just a very interesting man. And I'm disappointed to see him withdraw his nomination under this investigation. I guess there's a grand jury looking into allegations of pay-for-play.
There is, and I'm not altogether certain yet what the allegations are. But, you know, there have been a lot of concerns in any case about or questions about his nomination to Commerce. I suspect what's going to happen here is they'll, as this thing moves forward, if he's cleared, they're going to find another place for Bill Richardson down the line in another one of these slots that will eventually open up. At least that's what I suspect. And at this rate, given that Dianne Feinstein is so mad about Leon Panetta being nominated to intelligence, who knows? Maybe that'll fall through and Richardson will get another shot at it down the road.
Now, that's interesting. I'm only learning about the Panetta nomination as we went on the air today. We just spoke to Bob Dreyfus about it. He has a couple of criticisms of the pick, but I didn't hear that Dianne Feinstein is opposed to it.
She is, I don't know if she's out and out opposed to it. The way it's being reported, at least in the media, is that she's quote-unquote furious because apparently Obama did not consult with her or inform her about the pick. She's the head of the Senate Intelligence Committee.
Not yet, but will be, yeah.
Right, that's right. And did not consult with our friend Dyfi. So she apparently is feeling slighted and none too happy about it and has made that known in a public letter. So we'll see what comes of that.
Well, I'll tell you, you don't want to piss off Dianne Feinstein. I did it once, and I'm still paying for it.
Really? I kind of do want to piss her off, but maybe that's just me.
Well, this was way back in 1992, and she has a memory, I'll tell you that.
Okay, well, that's good to know because, you know, she's also been quite crucial in the Senate when it comes to election reform as she was heading the Senate Administration Committee and put together some terrible election reform bills in the last session. So we'll see now if that changes, if we can get some real election reform out of her and out of the U.S. Senate this year.
Yeah, and she was really terrible on the Fourth Amendment issues related to FISA and the illegal wiretapping. She was just in favor of finding some way to legalize it without disclosure, without holding anybody accountable. And it really, well, that pissed me off, and I'll remember it for as long as Feinstein remembered why.
Well, I can tell you're not going out of your way to avoid pissing her off again, are you, Peter?
No. That ship has sailed.
I guess it has.
So, Brad, it appears that Dianne Feinstein and the other Democrats in the Senate may have a former comedian, radio talk show host in Al Franken joining them, but there's still a few hurdles to clear. What's the latest on this protracted recount in Minnesota?
Yeah, there are, and I know you're going to, by the way, be talking about the Illinois nomination shortly, so I'll leave you to that. Other than to put in a vote, we've got a poll at Brad Blog, and I don't want to skew the results, frankly, with my opinion here, but I'll tell you that though Harry Reid and the Democrats have said that they were not going to accept any nomination from Blagojevich, I suspect, as they did with Lieberman, they're going to fold on this one and allow him to come in. That's just my guess. I've got no inside information, but I can't imagine them actually standing up and having a spine about anything. So why should they keep their word at this point?
Well, I think your observations are accurate. I do think that Blagojevich wins the day on this. You know, he picked a former political opponent of his, a guy who clearly doesn't have any connection to a pay-for-play scheme, and so it makes it very difficult for Harry Reid and other Democrats to hold on to their position, which seemed so clear and morally, you know, on the moral high ground just 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, it did. But, of course, then they didn't have to make any real decisions. All they had to do was make announcements and press conferences. Now the rubber meets the road, and they're going to have to make a real decision. And they really don't have much of a legal leg to stand on in turning down Burris. That said, that does segue somewhat nicely into what's going on here with Al Franken. Al Franken, as you said, has been declared or at least certified the winner by the state canvassing board today by 225 votes out of nearly 3 million, an amazingly close race, and an amazingly well-run post-election hand count to the credit of the folks in Minnesota and to Secretary of State Mark Ritchie. It was incredibly transparent, and they strive for accuracy, but really it's transparency that is the key to, as far as I'm concerned, to any election reform. And they had it in spades out there, to their credit, in Minnesota, videotaping every step of the process. That said, Norm Coleman still has the right, since the election was certified just this afternoon, he still has 7 days to challenge an official election contest in the courts. And he has, he said he's going to do that, and I believe actually he may have already done so within the last hour. So he will be challenging it, and it brings up a very interesting point and another good mark in the Minnesota column, as far as I'm concerned, which is that a provision in Minnesota law, unlike almost all of the other states, this provision allows that if there is an election contest, the official certification will not be sent to the U.S. Congress. Now, if for folks who have been listening to your show or reading Brad Blog for quite some time, you may remember this issue came up back in the summer of 2006 in this infamous Busby-Bilbray race in California's 50th District. To replace Duke Cunningham, and as you recall, at the time there was questions about that election, big questions raised originally by Brad Blog, but the California Secretary of State, actually the Assistant Secretary of State, went ahead and certified the election before even all the votes are counted, before any of the election challenges were even made their way into court. She certified that election. The Republicans in the House, they then controlled the House in the summer of 06. They said, well, we're in charge now because the certification has been sent to us, and constitutionally we can determine who gets seated and who doesn't, and we are going to seat this Republican. And they sent that letter to the courts back in California, and that made the judge throw out the election contest and essentially determine that neither the voters nor even the courts of California had the right to determine who gets seated. Rather, that is up to the U.S. Congress.
Yeah.
And they, you know, they put the guy in, and at least the good news here in Minnesota, as far as I'm concerned, is that the Congress won't be able to rob the folks in Minnesota of the jurisdiction of this thing, and Coleman's challenge will be able to go through for whether it succeeds or not.
Mm-hmm. And let's get technical here for just a second. So what occurred today is that the state canvassing board issued a certification, but that certification does not take effect for 7 days. Is that right?
Well, that's right. It actually has to be signed by the, I believe, the governor and the secretary of state before it is then sent to Congress. And as long as there is a challenge, they, at least as I've come to understand the law up there, they will not sign that official notification. So if he does, if Coleman does challenge, file an election contest, which is almost a guarantee, then until that contest has worked its way through the courts and been settled one way or another, the Senate won't even have to face the question of whether Franken should be seated or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, and frankly, I think that's the way it should go. Whether you support Franken or Coleman, he has a right to file an election contest. Mm-hmm. And as we've seen in the past, as in California, you know, the voters out there had a right to contest that election, but they were robbed of that right. So, I don't think Coleman has much of a leg to stand on in this contest, frankly. But I believe he deserves his day in court. And I don't think the U.S. Congress should be able to rob him of it simply because, you know, right now we happen to have Democrats who control that chamber. Back in 06 in the summer, it was Republicans who controlled the House.
Yep.
And I don't think it ought to be a political decision. I think it ought to be up to the voters and the rule of law back in the state where the election was held.
Well, I certainly agree with you. And we need to reestablish that the Senate, if it's going to use its powers about seating members, that it has to have a consistent approach to that, because we've got David Vitter, and Larry Craig just went into retirement, and Ted Stevens. You know, those three individuals were deeply tainted in their final terms in office, but were permitted to continue to serve. And that's something that I think the Senate and the House need to come to terms with if they really believe the rhetoric they fed us about the Republican culture of corruption.
Yeah, well, as a matter of fact, I don't think, I may be wrong here, but I don't believe that the House has the right to expel members, whereas the Senate does.
If they let the Ethics Committee do its job,
right,
it would lead to a recommendation that could, in fact, strip a member of his or her seat.
But they've
had that pretty well crazy glued shut since Pelosi left the Ethics Committee after the removal of Newt Gingrich.
They have, but you do have to remember it cannot be taken lightly when the Congress essentially takes away what should be the right of the voters, wherever the jurisdiction is, to have their elected representatives. So they do need to proceed very, very cautiously, I think, before they exercise that power.
We're going to take a break and return. Brad Friedman from BradBlog.com is with us in a special visit today. Visit BradBlog and check out the great news, nominated for a Weblog Award, and I certainly think it's well-deserved. We'll take a break and return. Your calls and comments welcome at 888-5-PETER-B, the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Slow down. You move too fast. You got to make the morning last.
Hello, I'm Barbara Mossberg. You know you move too fast. And I'm inviting you to join me Sundays to slow down for our poetry hour. Here's the lowdown on our poetry hoedown. Meet me at high noon, and we'll make the morning last right here on KRXA 540.
What you knowin', I've come to work.
Hello, this is Solazar.
Hi, I'm Carolani.
Good Vibration.
Tools for Transformation
is being preempted by sports programming on Saturdays
this month.
We'll run encore presentations of some of your favorite shows on the Internet.
So tune in. Good Vibration.
Saturdays from 7 to 9 p.m.
on AM 540 KRXA.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life.
Join ThinkerToys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why ThinkerToys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. ThinkerToys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Good afternoon and Happy New Year, everybody. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. We've got a lot going on in Santa Cruz right now. On 30th Avenue at Brommer Street, we have a collision with an ambulance responding. And on Felton Empire Road at Graham Hill Road, there is a pickup truck hanging off the side of the road. CHP is on the scene there. Also, on Highway 17, just north of Laurel Road, there is a collision with minor injuries. In the Hollister-Gilroy area, on Santa Teresa Boulevard, just south of Fitzgerald Road, we have a two-vehicle collision with no injuries there. And weather, it's pretty gray and murky out there. We've got widespread showers for the rest of the day. Highs are in the lower 50s. That's your traffic and weather on AM 540. Try to stay safe, warm, and dry, and stay with the Peter B. Collins Show.
The Peter B. Collins Show, 24 minutes after the hour. Coming up less than 10 minutes away, we'll talk about the situation in Illinois and whether Roland Burris will be seated as the next United States Senator to replace Barack Obama. And Dick Kay, the Chicago political reporter, will be joining us then. We continue with Brad Friedman from BradBlog.com. Brad visits us every Friday in our third and final hour. And Brad, will you be able to join us this Friday?
I'm hoping I will. I'm not exactly sure where I'm going to be, but if the gods are with you, I will be with you as well.
All right, because we can celebrate our relaunch in Seattle. Some bozo pulled the plug a few weeks ago, and after a very strongly worded letter, they agreed to put our show back on. So we will be relaunching in Seattle this weekend.
Delighted to hear it.
We'll look forward to that. Dave's on the line from Eureka. He's got a question. Hello, Dave. You're on the air.
Well, perhaps it's a simple one, maybe a naive one, but I ask simply, how could any rational voter today be voting for a Republican for the United States Senate?
Well, fortunately, there's no rationality test at the polls, or else, maybe unfortunately. I suppose things would be very different if there was.
Well, but are you questioning the voters of Minnesota? Is that your point here, Dave?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, how could they even consider today, knowing what they know about what's going on with Republicans nationally, want to vote for another Republican senator?
Well, you know, we are counting votes that were cast on or before November 4th. But I do agree with you that the position of the Republicans and the failure of Norm Coleman in particular were pretty clear. But there is a virus called GOP. And it does afflict many people, Dave.
Well, and I'll make another point. While I can't understand why anybody would vote for Norm Coleman either, frankly, or any Republican this year, I can say that I could understand why somebody might not want to vote for Al Franken, because we've got a bit of an irony here in that, I was talking about before the break about how the question of seating Vern Buchanan back in the summer of 2006 was taken over by the U.S. Congress. Well, you may remember that that debate on the Busby-Bilbray business that took place at the same time that Al Franken himself happened to be in San Diego broadcasting live from the Democracy Fest,
yep.
And he refused to talk substantively about the concerns in the Busby-Bilbray race. He had some right-winger on from the Union Tribune, and the crowds ended up booing him during his live show
mm-hmm.
over this matter. So there's a lot of folks who were not happy with Al Franken for that reason, and many other ones that I think are legitimate, frankly.
Yeah. Well, and I do hope and I firmly believe that Al Franken has learned a bitter lesson here about his own refusal to acknowledge the problems in our electoral process. And I hope that should he succeed in being seated after the legitimate process of letting Norm Coleman's people file a challenge, I hope that he will be chastened and that he will see as his mission in the Senate to reform our voting processes so that he doesn't wind up like this again.
I hope so, but what I actually fear is that he's going to say because the rules of the provisions for election contests like this were so good in Minnesota, I fear the result is going to be he's going to come out of it and say, see, look how great our election system works. No problem. We had no problem in Minnesota, and so I can't understand why anybody has any problems anywhere else.
Well, and with a 6-year term and the power of the incumbency, he may, you're right, he may just say, oh, it worked for me.
That's right. Well, I guess we're going to have to go Dianne Feinstein on his ass in that case.
We'll get him an official Di-Fi bow tie.
There you
and
go.
He can wear that to his swearing in.
See if we can piss him off before the end of the term.
Well, Brad, as long as you're in New Mexico, I would ask you to have a sopapilla for me.
I will indeed. I will enjoy it mightily. Thank you, sir.
They're probably bad for you, but they're really tasty.
They are indeed. I already had one.
All right. Thank you, Brad. I appreciate your duty today. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Look forward to it. Thank you, brother.
Read all about it at bradblog.com. Coming up next, Dick Kay on the Chicago, the Illinois Senate seat, and Roland Burris. That's next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
I know what many of you are asking yourselves. Why are we at work today? This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. New Year's week has to be the least productive week on the calendar. No useful work goes on. Nobody's mind is in the game. Why do we do it? The only people who are doing any useful work are the people who put out the discount tags. Maybe not even them the way sales are going. And yet here we are about to create more jobs. We're going to spend hundreds of billions of dollars to create more jobs, which ultimately will mean making more stuff. And what for? Why make more stuff when we're glutted with the old stuff? That just means you'll have people making more stuff that won't get sold, and then people whose jobs don't get funded will get sore. We have to find a way to give the middle class more money, but at the same time get them to make less stuff. More money to make less stuff. That sounds ridiculous, you say, except it's not. We've done it for years. It's called paid vacation. And for a long time, the U.S. has been losing the paid vacation race. 13 days average paid vacation. You know what the Japanese get? The country whose car companies don't need bailouts, 25 days. British get 28. Workaholic Germans get 35 days, almost as much as the French. The French get 37. And the Italians get 42. I'm not saying we want to be the Italians. We have to work once in a while. But a nice, reasonable 4 weeks paid vacation for everybody. 4 weeks at home, reconnecting with your spouse, bonding with the kids, doing all those little jobs you've been putting off. I know, it's just too scary. Now this.
Whether you run a small business or a big enterprise, you face similar IT challenges every day, including network security, user productivity, network and application performance, and data storage and email retrieval. That's why over 70,000 businesses like yours count on Barracuda Networks to solve these challenges.
Right out of the box, without IT expertise, at a price that any business can afford.
Call 888-ANTI-SPAM for a free 30-day trial of any of our security, productivity, or storage appliances.
That's 888-ANTI-SPAM.
Or see for yourself at Barracuda.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
We all know the economy is experiencing some rough times, but some people seem to thrive even in tougher times than this. Want to own their secrets for yourself? Now you can dissolve away your own barriers and blocks to prosperity and success in life despite negative circumstances. Attend a very special transformational 2-day event in beautiful Asilomar. The Monterey Center, your one stop for mind, body, spirit wellness, proudly presents How to Prosper and Flourish, coach with international personal transformation and success leader, Ronaldo R. Robles, coming to the Monterey Peninsula in Asilomar for 2 days only on Saturday, January 31st and February 1st, 2009. Seating is limited. Call now to 831-641-9812 to reserve your ticket to success at Inspiring Asilomar Conference Grounds today. Call 831-641-9812. That number again, 641-9812.
Time to paint your house and protect your investment.
Custom painting.
Call Don Dickman Painting for a free estimate.
Don Dickman Painting, serving Monterey Peninsula and the Big Sur Coast. Quality paint jobs and green painting solutions are fast and affordable. Call 667-2144. For a free estimate, call 667-2144. That's 667-2144. I'm Don Dickman. When quality counts, let us protect your investment. You're in good hands.
Don Dickman Painting.
We're at www.dondickmanpainting.com.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Coming up next hour, kicking off our free speech zone, first time in the new year, a guy who just secured $240,000 in compensation because his free speech rights were abridged. He is Raed Jarrah, born in Iraq, now a U.S. resident, a sharp critic of our occupation of that nation. And they made him uncomfortable because he's a Muslim and because he was wearing a T-shirt that somebody didn't like. He finally got a settlement, and it comes after the holiday report of Muslims who were discriminated against on an AirTran flight. We'll talk about that coming up about a half an hour away.
This ain't no technological breakdown. Oh no, this is the road.
But first, we got to get the latest dish, the deep dish. It's Chicago style. The deep dish on who's going to replace Barack Obama in the United States Senate. And my friend Dick Kay is on the line, 38 years as a television political reporter for NBC. He's semi-retired now, hosts a show on the Progressive Talk Station in Chicago, WCPT. Welcome back, Dick.
Hey, thanks, Peter. That guy wearing that T-shirt, was he at a Bush rally?
No, he was just flying on an airliner.
I just wondered.
So, Dick, I haven't talked to you in at least 2 weeks now, yeah. But I have to say, if this were a tennis match, we would say advantage Blagojevich.
You're right. Boy, there's a lot going on today, you know.
Well, fill us in, because Roland Burris apparently is on his way or may have arrived in Washington with his fate unknown.
Well, here's what's happened so far. Roland was appointed by the governor. Roland's a former controller, former attorney general, four-time candidate.
Never been indicted, right?
Never been indicted. Pretty good guy, self-possessed. You know, he has a great sense of self-importance. I mean, he's still a good guy, but been pretty clean. The governor appointed him. There's no question he wouldn't have been the choice if we hadn't have gone into all of the machinations with the feds and the charges that the governor was going to try to sell the Senate seat.
Right.
So the governor reached out to Roland Burris. First, he went to Congressman Danny Davis, asked him if he was interested. Davis wouldn't touch it. But Davis recommended Roland Burris. He gave Burris the appointment. Roland Burris, the governor signed the certification, but the Secretary of State, Jesse White, said, I'm not going to sign it. So Burris is in court in Illinois, before the Illinois Supreme Court, demanding that they order Jesse White, the Secretary of State, to sign his certification of appointment. Meanwhile, Burris flew out to Washington today and presented the letter He didn't do it. The governor's acting chief of staff flew out to Washington, presented the letter to the Senate secretary. It didn't have the Secretary of State's signature. And the Secretary of the Senate said, thank you very much, you know, accepted the letter, but would not certify the appointment.
Mm-hmm.
So tomorrow, Mr. Burris, who is still in Washington, will attempt to take his seat as Illinois' second senator and be sworn in. And, of course, Harry Reid, the Senate majority leader, rather, and all of the Senate Democrats, including Senator Durbin, have said, we're not going to recognize him and we're not going to seat him. I think it's, I think Burris is going to have to be seated. It could be a while. It could be a long time. But meanwhile here, the impeachment committee is met Sunday in a rare session, and they're putting the finishing touches on their articles of impeachment against Governor Blagojevich, and they have asked for transcripts of the taped phone conversations by the feds.
Mm-hmm. But Fitzgerald doesn't want to give those up before he gets an indictment.
No, he did. He went to court. He asked a federal judge to release portions of the telephone transcripts
mm-hmm.
to the impeachment committee. The federal judge ruled today that they have until Thursday. And that's the earliest that they could get these transcripts, because the judge seems inclined to grant the request by the impeachment committee to give them the telephone transcripts. And then they ask for 90 more days to complete their investigation of the governor. And the judge granted that. And they don't have an indictment yet. Remember, that was just a criminal complaint.
Right.
And so the judge granted 90 more days, and they'll. The judge asked. They asked the governor's defense attorneys if they would accept redacted portions of the transcripts. So we'll have a ruling on that Thursday. Meanwhile, Burris will attempt to be sworn in tomorrow.
So, Dick Kaye, as you look at this, we need to just mention one fact here, and that is that Roland Burris is African-American,
mm-hmm.
and the argument is being made that Barack Obama vacated his seat as the president-elect, and that there is some expectation. It's not certainly a guarantee. Nobody ever has made a commitment to this, but that since Burris is an African-American, that gives him some advantage. Now, if Blagojevich had nominated Jan Schakowsky, or some other member of Congress who has a similar record of not being indicted, but also clearly wasn't part of any scheme to buy this Senate seat, wouldn't there be less of this expectation? Doesn't Burris, like Clarence Thomas did, have a leg up because of the race card here?
Well, I don't know that he does because of the race card, but he certainly does in the African-American community in Chicago. There was actually a rally last night by Congressman Bobby Rush at a church on Chicago's south side. Bobby Rush has long been playing the race card in this, saying how dare the Senate. Basically what he's saying is it's a white man's club, and how dare them deny a seat to the only African-American senator. And they had that rally last night. Burris has been saying he is the senator. But it's a very funny thing, Peter. You know, before this all happened, there were people who said this really should go to an African-American, you know? And now they're saying, oh, well, there's no reason it should go to an African-American. You know, all of a sudden Burris has it, and I think he's in the catbird seat. I think that I don't think the Senate has a legal right to block his appointment. I think the Illinois Supreme Court will probably order Jesse White, the Secretary of State, to certify the appointment. Mm-hmm. It's a ministerial duty.
Yeah.
And then I think that Burris will have it, his certificate of appointment, certified by the Secretary of State. The next step, I think, will be to present it to the Senate. And then they have a decision to make. They insist they're not going to seat him. They insist they have The right. And there's been a new twist. I don't know if you're aware. Turns out that Harry Reid and Robert Menendez, I believe, from your state.
No, Menendez from New Jersey.
New Jersey?
Yeah.
I thought he was. Anyhow.
Yeah.
Turns out that they made phone calls to the governor. The Sun-Times reported that story.
Yeah.
And allegedly said, we don't want you to appoint, Reid allegedly said to the governor, we don't want you to appoint Danny Davis, Jesse Jackson Jr., and a third one. All three of them happen to be African-Americans. Now, Harry Reid is denying that he ever said anything like that. He says the governor is telling a fib, that he leaked this story to help his own case. But the funny thing is, that'll be on the tapes because those conversations were being recorded at
yeah.
the time Reid and Menendez made the calls.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's now people are saying Harry Reid already has a conflict.
Well, and Dick Kay, this is fascinating because when you pull back the first layer here of Democratic politics,
mm-hmm.
It reveals a lot of uncomfortable truths or realities. And we have situations that have popped up just in the last 6 days where Hillary and Bill Clinton are being accused of a pay-for-play deal where it was a little complicated, but Hillary supported some legislation that benefited a Robert Kongol, and then he turned around and donated $100,000 to the Clinton Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And we have Bill Richardson.
Now we have Bill Richardson.
Withdrawing his name as Commerce Secretary over a grand jury investigation into a similar deal where he apparently is accused of, or it's, at least it is alleged, that Richardson showered favors on a California firm that got contracts with the state of New Mexico, and in return, the principal of that firm donated to Richardson's campaigns.
Right. I mean, it sounds like Chicago politics, doesn't it?
And it's all over the country.
And what they're doing is accusing the governor of seeking campaign contributions here in Illinois. He's under criminal complaint. He's facing criminal charges for it.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, he hasn't been indicted, and he hasn't been convicted, and that's why he had the legal right to make this appointment. There's another crucial element in this for Burris. Everyone is saying the same thing. Well, the legislature screwed up. The legislature should have passed legislation taking the appointment away from the governor and setting up a special election. Well, that ignores the fact that Rod Blagojevich is still the governor and had veto power, and he could sit on that bill for 60 days.
Right. Yeah.
He wasn't going to give up the appointed power,
yeah.
and the legislature couldn't have called a special election. But I agree with you. I mean, this is just quite an entanglement here in Illinois.
Yeah. And I don't see any way out. I don't see a face-saving manner for Reid and Durbin to say, oh, well, never mind, it's rolling. That's okay.
Well, you know, the funny thing is, Senator Obama, President-elect Obama, I'm sorry, has said that Roland shouldn't have taken the appointment. And he has said the Senate is right not to seat Burris. The funny thing is, Obama, at one time, when Burris ran for governor in a four-way race with Blagojevich, Obama endorsed Burris. But after he lost, he endorsed Blagojevich. I think this is, you know, wasting a lot of Obama's time when he really isn't involved, but this is, I don't know how they're going to get around this. I mean, they're talking about sending it to the Rules Committee and sitting on it for 90 days while they investigate Roland Burris and investigate whether he's qualified.
Mm-hmm.
But what are they going to, I mean, you know, they had him Clayton Powell, we've talked about that before.
Yeah.
That decision said you don't have the right to judge his qualifications except age, citizenship, residency.
Well, and we also have the inconsistency of the Senate, whether under Democratic or Republican control, in enforcing ethics rules on sitting members. So we've got Vitter, we've got Stevens, and we've got Craig in very recent history, and Vitter is still there.
Yeah.
They have not been seriously sanctioned. Now, Stevens was forced off the Pork Committee before he actually left office. They were looking at a very ugly prospect that the voters of Alaska might have reelected him, and they would have had to decide whether to seat this convicted felon or not.
Well, Peter, I think it goes further than that. I mean, these are the senators who gave Ted Stevens a standing ovation, including Harry Reid. when he lost and when he was leaving. They didn't do anything when Harriet Myers, I mean, in fact, it was, as you recall, Harry Reid who led the charge to get Harriet Myers confirmed to the Supreme Court, and they didn't do anything when Myers and Karl Rove
refused the
subpoena.
Yeah.
But they're going to judge the qualifications of Roland Burris.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're very hypocritical, to be honest with you.
Well,
legal experts think Burris is going to win this.
It's time for another Joe Lieberman moment.
There's another case. They forgave him, right? Welcome back, Joe.
Maybe they'll put Joey in charge of making the decision.
I wonder what he'd do. But meanwhile, we've got the impeachment committee going on here. You know, that's a political process.
Sure.
I mean, this is driven solely because they don't like the governor. A large part of it. Same thing in the appointment of Roland Burris. They don't like him. I mean, the outcome of the impeachment resolution in the House is predictable, but it takes a two-thirds majority in the Senate to convict Governor Blagojevich, and I don't know whether they'll get a two-thirds majority. I think there are a lot of people who feel that, you know, just because you don't like him, that's no reason to get rid of a sitting governor.
Well, Dick, call your old friends at NBC. There's a reality series here. They just got to get it on the air soon.
I think it's a great movie. Everybody's saying, who's going to play Roland Burris and Rod Blagojevich?
I don't have the hair to play Blago. We'll take a break and return. Dick Kay, right. Veteran political reporter from Chicago, will continue with us. And if you have a question or comment about this whole scandal and mess, call me now at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372, The Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the news, KRXA 540.
Good afternoon and Happy New Year, everyone. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. In Monterey on Congress Road at Forest Lodge Road, we have a two-vehicle collision. It's really, really busy in Santa Cruz right now. On Highway 17, just south of Glenwood Drive, there was a cab facing the wrong way on the right shoulder. And on 17th Avenue at Rodriguez Street, we have a collision involving a bicyclist. Also, on Holohan Road at Grimmer Road, there is a traffic hazard. And we are still keeping an eye on the collision at 30th Avenue and Brommer Street. In Hollister-Gilroy, we have a traffic hazard on Church Avenue at Yaugus Avenue. A tire is being changed in the westbound lane. CHP is on the scene there. And weather, it's just going to be really, really wet. That's your traffic and weather on AM 540. Have a great afternoon, everyone, and stay with the Peter B. Collins Show.
Want to meet a healthcare provider that will give you the time to talk about your health issues and actually listen to you? Are you looking for an alternative to the pill-popping culture created by the megaceutical companies? Do you have chronic pain, headaches, depression, allergies, or any other unresolved health concerns? Give Optimal Health a try. Hi, I'm Glenn Sadowski, licensed acupuncturist at Optimal Health Acupuncture in Monterey at 655-3208. I'll be at the Pilgrim's Way Bookstore in downtown Carmel on the second and fourth Sundays of each month. Reserve your space for an absolutely free 20-minute health evaluation, a wonderful opportunity to make an informed decision on your well-being. Call Optimal Health Acupuncture at 655-3208 today. Times are limited. Optimal Health, where you receive good medicine with great results. Our number again is 655-3208 or on the web at optimalhealthmonterey.com. Think for yourself at Optimal Health.
Wide open, Robinson for a three off the inbound. Two for two, Duncan Robinson. Four on three up the left side, Jamal Boykin in the open floor. Goes in and Viney and scores.
This is the voice of the Golden Bears, Roxy Bernstein, inviting you to join us for another exciting season of Cal basketball right here on your home. For the Bears.
The Golden Bears are on the bus to Washington State this Thursday for a 7 p.m. tip-off. Hear it on KRXA 540, your home station for Cal basketball.
Hi, I'm Audrey Williams.
And I'm Melvin Williams.
Check out our new show, Holy Hip Hop on the Block, every Saturday from 10 to 12 noon, right here on KRXA 540 AM.
Check us out.
Continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, the Free Speech Zone, coming up at the top of the hour, and we'll kick it off with Raed Jarrar. Born in Iraq, now a legal U.S. resident, and he just was awarded almost $250,000 for some hazing discrimination he received on a JetBlue flight out of JFK Airport a few years ago. We'll tell you the details coming up shortly, and you can join us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. We're talking with Dick Kay, longtime Chicago political reporter, about the incredible mess there over the succession of Barack Obama in the U.S. Senate. And we're joined by Aldis just up the road in Madison, Wisconsin. Go ahead, Aldis.
Well, hey there. You know, I'm really getting, what can I say, sick and tired about hearing how well-qualified Burris is to be a senator. I don't know about anybody else, but if I was an Illinois resident, I would not want someone with the lack of judgment who would accept a Blagojevich nomination. I mean, it's got to be the most poisonous pill I could imagine to one's career to actually get embroiled in this mess.
Well, you make a good point, and certainly the markers were out there from Durbin, Reed, and others that anybody who accepted this from Blagojevich would be tainted. But, Dick Kay, that's a perception. It has no grounding in the law, and there's no basis to try to enforce that perception.
Well, you have to understand Roland Burris. I mean, this guy already has his mausoleum card. And, I mean, he really does, and he's got a huge mausoleum, and it says Trailblazer. He's got the seal of Illinois. He believes that he was preordained to greatness. I mean, he really is rather obsessed with his own political career. I'm not surprised he took it. On the other hand, I mean, you're right. It hasn't. I mean, whether he took it or not is irrelevant in terms of whether it's a legitimate appointment.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Aldis.
I was about to say, I think it's perfectly appropriate he has this mausoleum picked out because his political career may as well be dead now.
Don't misunderestimate, Aldis. I don't see a way for the Democrats to legitimately block this, Dick. They may bluster and delay, but in the final analysis, Blagojevich can't withdraw this unless Burris rejects it. And as long as Burris stays in the game, I think he wins.
I think he wins. There's another scenario out there. The scenario is that they'd stall long enough for Governor Blagojevich to get impeached. That'll take about 2 months. They expect it to be done sometime in February, early March.
Mm-hmm.
And then they believe that Governor Pat Quinn, who would be the new governor, could withdraw the appointment and make his own appointment. But I doubt that that's legal. I mean, especially if the Supreme Court orders Jesse White to certify it,
mm-hmm.
It will be a certified appointment. But that's what they're hoping.
Aldis, anything else?
Nope, I think that about covers it.
All right, thanks for the call. I appreciate that. So, Dick, what is the level of amusement or frustration among the people at the Billy Goat Tavern there?
Well, you know what's surprising to me? How many people in the media think like you and I. I mean, they believe some of the media pundits here in Chicago are saying the same thing we're saying. I don't see any way out of seating this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Look, he wouldn't have been anybody's first choice. I mean, if we hadn't have got caught up in this mess, he wouldn't have been Blagojevich's first choice. He wasn't. Danny Davis was his first choice. But, I don't see any way around this. I'm like you, and most, as you say, the folks around Billy Goat and the Sun-Times has said he should be seated. They've editorialized. I mean, there's just a lot of folks who say, hey, you got to seat this guy. Now, there was a story today that said he might improve his chances if he agreed not to run in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think Roland Burris would agree to that, I mean, given his personality.
Yeah. Well, and he's probably not going to get Caroline Kennedy to endorse him.
She's going to get it too, isn't she?
I think so.
Isn't that? I saw over the weekend that she was the governor's choice.
Well, the fix appears to be in, and I'm nonplussed. For me, it will be interesting, perhaps, to watch a neophyte like her try to find her way in Washington. But my fear is, despite all of what they say about her name and her ability to raise large sums of money to run twice in the next 4 years, because of the way the clock is set there in New York State, I've a hard time believing that she could make enough of a mark in Washington in 2 years, not get chewed up by the Boys Club of the Senate, and actually prevail in two statewide races in a row when she's never even run for city council.
Yeah, but don't forget, she's a Barack Obama favorite.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no question about that. And, I mean, she was helped him vet his vice presidential choices.
Mm-hmm.
She's been working with him. You know, she campaigned with him. She spoke with him. I think if she gets it, she'll have a lot of help from the incoming president.
Well, at least, you know, she should go public and say, I could have pulled a Cheney and picked myself for vice president, but I had the good judgment and restraint not to do that.
Could have done that, too, but then they would have had legitimate reason not to seat him, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But hey, look, the Supreme Court told them to seat Adam Clayton Powell in the House. Now, the Senate says they have their own right. They have their own right to determine. I don't think they do. I don't think they can determine. And Burris is not a Carolyn Kennedy.
No.
He's held statewide office three or four terms.
Well, I think at some point Obama is going to drop the signal and say, I want this behind us, do what you need to do to save face, but it looks like we lost this one.
Well, you know, here's a guy who taught constitutional law.
Yeah.
He knows the Constitution, and he's standing behind the Senate. One of the reasons I don't think he'll do that is because Dick Durbin,
mm-hmm.
who is one of his major friends and supporters, is the assistant majority leader in
mm-hmm.
the Senate,
mm-hmm.
and he opposes Roland Burris. Now, the funny thing is, they've all served with this guy.
Right.
I mean, Durbin served with him when Burris was a statewide officer. But
and Dick Kay, the beat goes on. Always great to talk politics with you.
Peter,
thank you, sir.
Thanks very much. Say hello to all my friends out there on
Bonjour,
the left coast.
This
Got
is Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. I've created a special offer for you to try my French wines made from organically grown grapes. For a limited time, when you buy two bottles, you get one bottle free, and I'll even pay for the shipping. I know you love the taste of these handcrafted wines from my ancestors' lands, especially if you care about our planet and your health. Imagine, you can have organic French wine delivered to your door for less than $12 a bottle. I've made this free wine and free shipping offer available to you because I believe you'll become a lifelong customer once you've tasted our wines. The French Bouquet Collection at ecowine.com includes my red Chateau Véronique from Languedoc, my white Viognier, and my Blanquette de Limoux sparkling wine. All French, organically grown, and affordable.
For free delivery, click on ecowine.com/Peter B. That's ecowine.com/...
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Declared the winner more than 2 months after the election, Democrat Al Franken has assumed the mantle of U.S. Senator.
For our state, today marked the end of a long process that will forever be a part of Minnesota history. But today is also a beginning.
But a lawyer for Republican incumbent Norm Coleman says it's the beginning of a court challenge. So Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell says Franken can't be expected to be seated anytime soon.
The race in Minnesota is not over until the people in Minnesota say it's over. And the way you say it's over in Minnesota is somebody shows up here with an election certificate. It's my understanding that ain't going to happen tomorrow.
The Coleman camp has 7 days to file a lawsuit, and the dispute could drag on for months after that. Roland Burris arrived in Washington today to claim the Senate seat vacated by Barack Obama. He was appointed by embattled Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich.
What has been done here is legal. That's legal. I am the junior senator from Illinois.
If Burris is seated, it won't be right away. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid says the appointment hasn't been legally certified by the state. President-elect Obama met with congressional leaders today and said he wants to sign an economic stimulus package soon after he takes office.
The most important message today is that the situation is getting worse. We've got to act boldly, and we've got to act swiftly. We cannot delay.
Republicans say they're all for tax cuts, but might not go along with the Democrats' spending priorities. Mr. Obama has surprised many people with his choice for CIA director, former White House Chief of Staff Leon Panetta. He's known as a good administrator who has close ties on Capitol Hill, but former CIA analyst Michael Scheuer, a CBS News consultant, says he has no experience in the intelligence field.
Mr. Panetta, for better or worse, is going to be within the agency viewed as just another political hack that was sent over. And, you know, at a time of war where we're losing two wars overseas, it's probably not a good idea to send a novice to run the clandestine service.
New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson made a brief statement today about his decision to withdraw his name as nominee for Commerce Secretary.
Unfortunately, the ongoing CDR investigation would have forced an untenable delay in the confirmation process. I could not in good conscience ask the President-elect and his administration to delay for one day the important work that needs to be done.
CDR is a financial consulting firm which is donated to Richardson's political committees. The company won state contracts worth nearly $1.5 million. The governor insists he'll be cleared when the investigation's over. After an autopsy on the body of Jet Travolta, the death certificate issued in the Bahamas reportedly declares he died of a seizure with no indication of a head injury. Entertainment Tonight says the 16-year-old son of John Travolta and Kelly Preston has been cremated. On Wall Street, the Dow Industrials lost 81 points today, down to 89.52. This is CBS News.
You ever have one of those days where everything goes right? First, I get the best parking space at work. Tonight, I have a date with the very lovely Rachel. And today, I gave a killer presentation in Sydney, finalized the contract in London, and demoed our new product in Boston. Online, from my desk, with WebEx. WebEx lets me take meetings and give presentations from my desk. I just talk to clients on the phone, and they watch what's happening on my desktop from their desktop. So I can travel the world and still be here for my date tonight with Rachel.
Travel less, meet online. Go to WebEx.com and try WebEx free. Just click the radio graphic and enter promo code 505 to get a free trial and a free webcam, too. Remember that code, 505, to qualify for the free webcam. WebEx, now part of Cisco and used by more than 5.5 million people every month. Give it a try, free. Go to WebEx.com and enter the promo code 505. WEBEX.com. Free webcams available while supplies last. Terms and restrictions apply. See website for details.
We can't say we haven't been warned, but we still live dangerously. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato reports.
58% of Americans ride bikes without helmets. 27% don't use sunscreen while catching some rays. 7 in 10 run lawnmowers or leaf blowers without ever wearing ear protection.
They really should be, because long-term noise exposure can cause hearing loss.
Don Mays of Consumers Union says a new survey shows we're a nation of risk takers. Most use cell phones while driving and go at least 10 miles per hour over the speed limit on highways. Do you leave things on the stairs that people can trip over? More than a third of us do.
People may decide not to take proper precautions because, of course, accidents will never happen to them.
Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
A man near Greeley, Colorado, lived dangerously for more than half a century. He kept a live mortar round from the Korean War. A grandson found it after the man died of natural causes. The police bomb squad detonated the shell. No one was hurt. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Two drivers, two very different stories, heading home on a dark evening.
I hit the open road.
A deer popped out of nowhere. I panicked.
I saw a deer in the road. I slowed down.
I jerked the wheel. I wish I could have seen it.
I drove around it and was home before the next song on the radio.
With Silver Star headlights from Sylvania, you'll see more of the road ahead. Remember, headlights dim over time. Replace them before you are left in the dark. Visit your automotive retailer and choose the whitest, brightest light. Silver Star headlights from Sylvania.
I'm here to tell you that Geico.com is easy to use. I bet you already knew that. A website that's convenient and fast. Well, really, had no idea. Of course it's fast and easy. Now, allow me to go off script and tell you why Geico.com is so great. First, you can get a free rate quote right then and there. You can update your policy, make a payment, even report and track a claim. There's the news. There's the big aha. Sorry, just had to get it off my chest.
For a free rate quote, visit Geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Live. live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
It's our first free speech zone of the new year. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show, 6 minutes after the hour. My lines are open to talk to you at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You know the number. You've got the device. So use it and call me. Boston, if you're listening on the mighty AM 1510, give us a call. Let us know what's on your mind today. 888-5-PETER-B. We lead the free speech zone today with a friend of our program who's been on many times to talk about the illegal occupation of Iraq, where he was born. Raed Jarrar first came to our attention when he was working with Global Exchange. He's now with the American Friends Service Committee, and he had a victory that was recorded here recently and announced today based on an incident that occurred to him back in August of 2006 when I would say it's fair to say he was discriminated against. Discriminated was the word I'm looking for there. As he tried to board a plane, a JetBlue flight at John F. Kennedy Airport in New York. Raed, welcome to our program today.
Thanks for having me again.
Well, it's my pleasure, and I'm glad to see you victorious in this case because you were fighting not only for yourself, but for other Arab and Muslim Americans who have been singled out based on their appearance or their ethnicity and subjected to the kinds of sanction or interference that would never happen to a bald white guy like me, Raed.
Yeah, I'm very happy that I think today I gave a very clear message that what happened to me 2 years ago was wrong and illegal. And the fact that the TSA and JetBlue ended up giving me $240,000 shows that they admit that they have something, they have done something wrong.
Right.
It shouldn't have happened in the first place, and this should not be repeated to other people.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we are talking here about a very systematic discrimination, and what happened to me was not an isolated incident. I mean, you know that a very similar incident just happened a few days ago.
Yes.
With a Muslim family flying out of D.C. So there is a mentality there, a logic to justify oppressing and discriminating Arabs and Muslims in the U.S. And unfortunately, this is the same logic that is allowing the U.S. and other countries to kill Muslims and destroy them, like what's happening now in Iraq and in Gaza.
Yes, indeed. Well,
so I hope that, you know, today I hope this was a very clear message to the TSA and to U.S. Airlines that this is wrong, this logic is wrong, the logic of dealing with Muslims and Arabs as second-class citizens or second-class humans is wrong, and discriminating against them is wrong. It should not happen again.
And it also shows that we are no safer just because our civil rights and our standards have been compromised. And to treat you the way they did because you were wearing a T-shirt that says, "We will not be silent," and that message was printed in English and in Arabic, and then simply because of your appearance and perhaps a look at your passport, they decided that you were some sort of a risk. There was no probable cause. There was no investigation to determine beyond the very simple situational or cosmetic issues about whether you represented a threat of any kind. But it shows the kind of hysteria that passes for security at airports and the way profiling is used behind that hysterical approach to security. And the net effect is you were denied very important basic human rights.
Yeah, I mean, during the last a couple of years of going back and forth between my lawyers and the TSA lawyers and JetBlue's lawyers and interrogating all of the defendants. I discovered a lot of the other facts, actually, that showed me how systematic the entire issue is, how many other people were involved in the discrimination and in singling me out in the airport from the second that I entered the screening point in the airport. They were looking at me and following what I was doing. And then in the airplane, they even assigned one of the flight attendants, believe it or not, to sit behind me and watch me all the flight and write notes on what I was watching on TV and how many times I went to the bathroom and whether I said something to someone. So, I mean, imagine this, crazy mentality in just feeling that you have the right to deal with me in this way. Mm-hmm. Just because I'm an Arab and I'm Muslim and I come from Iraq, I look like an Arab and I have a T-shirt with Arabic words on it. So, I mean, it is, of course, a deeper issue than just dealing with Arabs and Muslims in this way in airports. It's way deeper. It's way more political, and it has a bigger machine inside the government that pushes people to think that way. But at least I think by today's victory, I hope that this gives a very clear message to TSA officials and to all airline officials and employees that they cannot discriminate against Arabs and Muslims in airports. This is not only illegal and unconstitutional, it's immoral to just consider people a threat or deny them from their rights just because of the way they look or because of their ethnic origin or because of the language that they speak.
Well, and this incident over the holidays in Washington, where a Muslim family apparently was having a discussion among themselves about where the safest place to sit on a plane is. And that's a conversation that I've heard many people of many different descriptions have at an airport or elsewhere. And so they were singled out again for their appearance. They were profiled, and they were denied seats on this AirTran flight.
Yeah, I mean, it is very disturbing. I mean, despite the fact that AirTran ended up apologizing, which is, I think it's a very positive thing, I read a couple of statements by AirTran on this incident saying that this happened. I mean, it just happened that these passengers were Muslim. You know, it's just a coincidence. And, you know, give me a break, you know. All of us know that this wasn't a coincidence, but just the fact that these women and men looked religious and they looked like Muslims, that by itself will justify oppressing them and justify picking on them and finding any small excuse to deny them from their rights and treat them differently and just make a point of maybe humiliating them.
And, Riad, I'd like to take a moment here, and in acknowledging your victory here and the important message that it sends, I want to also acknowledge that there are thousands of people who have been treated this way, who decided not to take action or for various reasons were unable to. And there are also thousands who were rounded up after 9/11 and detained without charge, deported without reason. And we have a very sorry history here since September of 2001 in the way that we have treated people. Again, it can be charted up to hysteria in some cases, but we're a sufficient distance from the events of 9/11 that that's no longer an excuse, particularly for the way this family was treated over the holidays in Washington.
Yeah, I mean, you know, to tell you the truth, I mean, I think this way of discrimination, it goes way beyond discriminating against Muslims and Arabs and now the events of 9/11. Maybe this is the discrimination of the last decade. But we shouldn't forget that many other peoples were discriminated against in the U.S. historically, whether they were Japanese Americans when another hysteria was going on at that time.
Right.
Or whether they were African Americans, well, there was another hysteria in that time. There is always a governmental, created hysteria that justifies picking on someone. It seems to be the case. And so, I mean, I think that what happened today and this ending this case and me forcing TSA and JetBlue to pay a huge amount of money, $240,000 for what they have done, mm-hmm. it should give a message that no one must be discriminated against. It's not just about Arabs and Muslims. It's about U.S. taxpayers, U.S. residents and citizens. I don't think anyone must be discriminated against just because of the way that they look like.
Yeah. Riad, not to get too personal, but what do you plan to do with the money?
Well, I haven't decided yet, but I'm sure that I will continue to support a number of civil rights organizations in the U.S. that deal with similar issues to the one that I like to deal with victims of the same policies that I was victimized by.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to help other Arabs and Muslims. As I mentioned earlier, the mentality, the logic that justifies oppressing me and sending me to the back of the airplane and covering my T-shirt is exactly the same logic that justifies killing Palestinians in Gaza now and killing Iraqis and stuff. So, I mean, I will, try to help some Palestinians through these very dark days in Gaza. I was thinking today of sending a portion of the money to the UNRWA, which is a part of the United Nations in Gaza, because they are doing some good work on the ground,
yeah.
and other things. So, I mean, there is a lot of unjust in the world, unfortunately, to deal with. I hope that I will continue to do my work and to try to do some more change to better.
Riad, congratulations. Thanks for standing and fighting for your rights and mine, too.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me again.
You bet. We'll talk again. Riad Jarrar, he was awarded $240,000 by the TSA and JetBlue Airways, fighting for our rights. My lines are open, and I'd like to hear from you in the next segment. 888-5, Peter B. is my toll-free number. You know the rules. There hardly are any. Any subject, any viewpoint from anywhere within the sound of my voice. You dial 1-888-573-8372. The Peter B. Collins Show, produced by Katrina Rill. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way in the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, inexpensive Mandarin and Cantonese food prepared to order every day. The May family invites you to savor their authentic Chinese dishes and tasty soups like congee and wonton noodle. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.75 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Come here, Max. What's wrong?
Ruff.
What?
Ruff.
Oh, I get it. A rough day?
Ruff, ruff.
Hi, I'm Dr. Annetta Richmond inviting you to Natural Veterinary Therapy in Pacific Grove, the peninsula's new holistic veterinary medicine clinic featuring a wide variety of natural treatments and remedies for common ailments. We also specialize in acupuncture, chiropractic, and physical rehabilitation using an underwater treadmill. Natural Veterinary Therapy, Lighthouse Avenue between 14th and 15th in Pacific Grove. our environment is unique. Clients comment on how calm and caring it is for their pets and themselves. At Natural Veterinary Therapy, our goal is to help your pet heal from within. So think for yourself and think for your pets. Visit our website at naturalveterinarytherapy.com or call 655-0501. That's 655-0501.
Meow. Whiskers, I'd better call Dr. Richmond for you, too.
Meow, meow.
Is your drinking affecting your work? Is your drinking affecting your physical health? Is your drinking affecting your relationships with others? If you answered yes to one or more of these questions, Sun Street Center's Outpatient Recovery Services can help you today on your road to recovery. For adults 18 and over, private insurance is accepted. Help is only a phone call away at 753-6001. Brought to you by Sun Street Center's Outpatient Recovery Services and the Coalition Preventing Alcohol-Related Trauma in Salinas.
Good evening and Happy New Year, everyone. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. Right now on County Road G16 at Los Arboles, we have a visual traffic hazard on the shoulder. And on Congress Road at Forest Lodge Road, we have a two-vehicle collision. Looking at Santa Cruz, we have a collision involving a bicyclist on 17th Avenue at Rodriguez Street. And on Glenwood Drive at Highway 17, we have a traffic hazard. And weather tonight will be wet and cold with temperatures in the lower 40s. Tuesday will be partly cloudy with highs in the upper 50s. That's your traffic and weather on AM 540. Have a safe commute, everyone. The Peter B. Collins Show will be right back.
This is the Peter B. Collins Show. It's the Free Speech Zone, and my lines are open for you.
Interrupting all programs.
Radio from pirate satellites. Orbiting your living room. Catching in the Bill of Rights. Human army surplus. Or refusing of her life. Radio from pirate satellites.
Triple 855 Peter B. If you'd like to join us. And during the month of January, I'm going to be offering inducements to people who call into the program. For a couple of reasons, we have new listeners in Boston, and you're still figuring out who we are and how to get through. And also, during this time of year, some of our AM stations have to lower their power at sunset. And so it makes it harder for people to listen when they're driving or at some distance from the transmitter. We understand that. So over the holidays, as threatened, I did my best to cull through the bush-bashing bookshelf here in the secret Peter B. Collins studios. I have about 40 books that I have decided to part with. And if you call into the program and say, hey, Peter B., can I adopt a book? I will give you an option of a couple of titles. I'll bring the box over here next to me, and you can choose a book, and we'll mail it out to you as the cheapest rate possible. You can add it to your bookshelf. So anytime you call into the program, just say, hey, Peter B., I'd like to adopt a book. And that's what I'll do. I'll make you an offer and see which one you would like. And I hope that helps get you over the hump to call at 888-5-PETER-B. 10 years ago today, I was called to San Quentin State Prison, where I've been active for many years, advocating for life prisoners who were trapped in the system, unable to win parole. And 10 years ago today, my friend Dennis Jones, who was originally sentenced to serve 7 years, was released from San Quentin after completing 23 years plus. Other injustices continue for life prisoners in the California Department of Corrections, but gratefully, Dennis's is behind him. And this Friday, we will gather for a party to celebrate 10 years of freedom for Dennis Jones, and I'm looking forward to that. I want to direct you to the website of the San Francisco Chronicle, sfgate.com. Click on the opinion page and look for the op-ed written by Ralph Nader and Bruce Fine. Bruce Fine is a familiar voice on this program. He served in the Reagan administration at the Department of Justice and also at the FCC. He was part of the impeachment team against Bill Clinton. Despite that, he and I have a lot in common because he is calling, absent impeachment, for a congressional censure of Bush and Cheney for declaring war against the Constitution. It's a well-written op-ed. I recommend it to you again, sfgate.com. It's in Monday's edition of the San Francisco Chronicle. Brian's on the line from Lolita, south of Eureka. Hello, Brian.
Hi, how are you doing, Peter?
Great, glad to hear from you.
I wanted to tell you what the Constitution says about the Senate's ability to determine its members.
Okay.
Article 1, Section 5. Each house shall be the judge of the elections, returns, and qualifications of its own members.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty clear to me. And it says in a majority, it follows within a majority, each of each shall constitute a quorum to do business.
Right.
So when your prior guest says, I don't think there's any reason that the Senate could not seat him, the Senate can just say he's not qualified.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that because he's African American and because he is nominally qualified, all right, he's you know, served in public office, been elected statewide in Illinois four times. I understand your point legally.
Well, yeah.
But I think they're going to have a hard time holding to this position because here's a guy who can say, I didn't buy this Senate seat. It's not my fault Rod Blagojevich is a creep. He had the power to appoint me. He did so, and therefore, I demand to be seated.
Oh, and I can't argue with that. I just your the guest you had on, the journalist from Chicago,
right,
made a point that he didn't think there was any legal basis. There's very strong legal basis.
Yeah, I hear you, and I'm glad you brought that up.
Okay, how do I get a book?
Okay, we have a choice of the, I can't read it from here, there's a primer by Phyllis Bennis on one of the nations in the Middle East, or Vincent Bugliosi's book about charging George W. Bush for murder.
That. Give me the letter.
Okay. Hold on here. We'll get your address and mail it out to you, okay?
Hey, thanks a lot. Keep up the good work.
I'm glad you called. Thank you very much. And I've got 30 seconds for Ben and Salinas. Go ahead, Ben.
Yeah. You know what? I'm calling about this Leon Panetta to be director of CIA.
Right.
Finally, somebody's looking at human beings that don't want to kill and die and kill and die. This man is a man of honor. I know him well. He's from my district here.
Mm-hmm.
He will do away with this torturing crap. They need to do away with that Patriot Act, the Homeland Gestapo, and all these Nazi agencies that Bush has set up. They have to do it vociferously, and Panetta is the man who will do it.
All right, I hope you're right, and I want to see him be forceful. He's been a compromiser and consensus builder in the past, and I hope he will really take this job on full-throated because he's got the right instincts, and
he is
a good man. Thank you, Ben.
Sir.
Cliff Schechter joins us next right here.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show. Weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Cornucopia Landscaping in Santa Cruz is a complete design, installation, and maintenance company. Cornucopia Landscaping specializes in water-saving gardens which retain a lush appearance. You can have fruit trees, grapevines, fresh vegetables, and many beautiful ornamental plants while using very little water. In fact, an entire cornucopia landscaping garden sips only as much water in a season as a lawn of equal size gulps down in 1 week. Drip irrigation is the key to a water-saving garden. Are you looking for a beautiful flagstone pathway? Cornucopia Landscaping builds decks, patios, arbors, fences, retaining walls, planter boxes, and many other custom-built wooden structures. Serving Santa Cruz County since 1996. For more information or a consultation, call Davis at 831-335-1209. That's 335-1209. That number again is 335-1209.
Cornerstone Wellness Center in Monterey specializes in reducing stress and pain in your body. With six professionals, Cornerstone offers hormone balancing for men and women, all natural, no side effects. With our bodies filled with toxins and aches and pains, this approach works. I'm Sheila Gale, and I've lived with chronic neck pain for years. Trina Hammack uses a technique called quantum biofeedback, which to me is a miracle. I feel better and better each day, physically and mentally. Cornerstone offers lymphatic drainage, infrared saunas, ionic foot baths, massage, estheticians, and body strengthening specifically for your body so you'll start living pain-free naturally. Tired of taking medicine? Homeopathy and top-of-the-line essential oils are used. Finally, an alternative that works. Cornerstone Wellness Center, 1088 Cass Street, Monterey. Call today, 373-6204, 373-6204, or go to cornerstonewellnesscenter.com.
The patient's not responding to the treatment.
I know. That imaginary jingle telling him to go where again?
Coffeetopia.
I've seen this condition before. It is very contagious.
What happened?
Nothing really. Everyone had a cup of coffee and a bagel. Speaking of which, let's go have a cup.
Where should we go?
Coffee, coffee, coffeetopia.
What was that?
And so, it begins again.
For the best coffee, tea, or smoothies in the Monterey Bay Area, visit Coffeetopia. With three locations in Santa Cruz, 3701 Portola Drive near Pleasure Point, 1723 Mission Street on the west side, and the newest Coffeetopia at 1443 Capitola Road in the Live Oak area. Coffeetopia is also the oldest internet cafe in Santa Cruz, with wireless and by-the-minute computer stations. Other places use ice as fillers for their smoothies, but not Coffeetopia. They use all fruit and juices when making their delicious smoothies, and they also feature tropical, high-energy, acai smoothies, bagels, and fresh baked goods.
Coffee, coffee, Coffeetopia.
Melting polar ice was a dirty look. Shrinking glaciers, a nudge. Then dying coral reefs pushed us, hard. Rising ocean temperatures and extreme weather, an uppercut. Then record-breaking heat waves hit us right where it hurts. Has it occurred to anyone that maybe the Earth is trying to get our attention?
We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. To find out how, go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Sha-la-la-la-la-la-la. Adam Duritz does it much better than I do. I'm Peter B. Collins, and this is the show they named after me.
Down at the New Amsterdam, down at this yellow-haired girl, Mr. Jones strikes up a conversation with a black-haired man goes dancing. You know, she dances while his father plays. Soft, sudden, beautiful, we all want something beautiful. Man, I wish I was beautiful. So come in.
You're welcome to join this conversation wherever it goes. 888-5-PETER-B is my number, 888-573-8372. And it's time to wish a warm, happy new year to Cliff Schechter there in Columbus, Ohio. Hi, Cliff.
Hey, Peter, how are you?
I'm doing okay. You survived the holidays all right?
I survived the holidays. Everything went pretty well.
Yeah?
You know, we're doing well here. Tonight's the big game, so all of town is watching the Buckeyes, of course,
yeah,
play some football,
well,
the Fiesta Bowl.
I'm sorry to take you away from that.
See, that just shows the love I have for you. But, you know,
and it shows,
nothing that can take me away from the Peter B. Collins Show.
And it shows that I don't follow sports, Cliff.
Well, there you go.
I'm clueless when it comes to what's going on in the sporting world.
I just thought you may remember as an Ohioan that things are a little intense around this time, but maybe not as much down in Cincinnati as in the Columbus area.
Uncle Dick was a member of the Buckeye team of 1937 or 38.
Is that true?
And won a Heisman Trophy.
Wow, look at that.
Yeah, yeah.
Look at that.
And I used to go to OSU games when I was a young buck because Uncle Dick had great seats. They were, like, way up in the last row.
That's, Well, you know, when I see you in person now, I can see by the moves that you have that it obviously runs in the family.
Yeah, right. Well, Cliff, before we get into matters political here, I just wanted to have a little fun because I did some purging over the holidays. And I purged the Bush-bashing bookshelf here at the Peter B. Collins Studios. But I want you to know that the real McCain still has a spot there.
All right.
But yeah. Rather than give these books away to people who wouldn't appreciate them, I'm offering listeners who call into the program who say, I'd like to adopt a book, the opportunity to do so. And if you call now, you could get Daydream Believers by Fred Kaplan. Kaplan writes the War Stories column in Slate, and this is how a few grand ideas wrecked American power. So that's up for grabs for people who call in. But I also culled some magazines and recycled a bunch of those. But I ripped this full-page, full-color ad off the back of the New Yorker dated June 9th of this past year. And I'd like to read it to you, and at any point you can interrupt me and tell me who the sponsor of this advertisement is.
Okay, go for it.
All right. It reads, plus 15, that's the big headline, one less thing to worry about, and it's a beauty. Deciding where to invest your retirement savings can be pretty stressful. Put your mind at ease. With the blank, blank, blank companies, you're tapping into more than 85 years of wisdom and expertise that can help you make your retirement savings last. Not worrying can reduce stress and add 15 years to your life. We've helped over 5 million people retire stronger. Getting started is simple. Ask your financial advisor about or visit retirestronger.com. Live longer, retire stronger, never outlive your money. Now,
wow.
who do you think the sponsor of this ad is?
I was trying to think. You had three blanks there. I mean, Bear Stearns went through my mind, Lehman Brothers, but those are only two words.
That's right. You're thinking right. You're very good.
And Bernie Madoff is only two words, too.
That's right. Uh-huh.
It would have been phenomenal if he had been advertising there.
Largest single recipient of bailout cash to date?
Was that Citigroup?
Nope.
Man.
AIG.
AIG. What am I thinking? Of course.
Live longer, retire stronger. It'll add 15 years to your life. So I guess that means...
Or it needs you to kill yourself immediately.
Right. It means that I should expect to shave 15 years off my life expectancy.
Wow. That's just amazing. I think if we were to look back at the beginning of the year, I'm sure plenty of people have done that for the New Year type of thing, when we all look back and look at a variety of ads and claims that were made. I mean, I've seen some of them, but I bet some of the more blatant ones, like the one you just found, there's so many of them out there
mm-hmm.
that you just sit there and be in disbelief. But
Well, and nobody will be held responsible for this. These are just, idle mail promises that were published in a national magazine.
Yeah, it's cowboy capitalism. That's the way it works.
Yeah.
Caveat emptor, my friend.
Oh, boy. So, the news is in from Alaska. Bristol had the baby, and her almost mother-in-law, well, she's up for trial on OxyContin possession.
Yeah, that's not good. I heard, actually, that they were delaying those charges because of the fact that Sarah Palin was on the ticket.
Sherry Johnston is the mother of Levi Johnston, and there is now a new Troopergate investigation to determine if they went easy on her or delayed any kind of legal action against her because of the almost relationship.
It's amazing. I mean, it's almost like you're kind of nervous. Maybe that's not the right word. Apprehensive to turn over each successive stone, worrying what you might find under there. Because there's really just no area of corruption that these guys have in mind, is there?
Well, and
they haven't touched and ruined and embarrassed us with, and I don't know. Go ahead, Peter.
Well, what I was going to say is that there is one American who should be standing firm with Sherry Johnston at this time, and his name's Rush Limbaugh.
That's right.
He should be there at the Sherry Johnston Defense Fund writing checks to help her avoid having to expose that she shopped for doctors. And
or, I was going to say, maybe perhaps he could offer some doctors and offer advice on how best to do that for years to get around the legal system while still being a hypocritical jack. I'm not sure I'm allowed to say the second half of that word on radio. while pulling all that off and judging others.
Mm-hmm.
While being very hesitant to judge oneself.
Yeah.
You know, I think he could give some great advice on that. Seminars, I think.
Well, I just would like to hear him come clean at some point. and acknowledge. I mean, he when he came out of rehab, I think he did briefly talk about his addiction. But, you know, he just kind of went right back into character, and the Ditto Heads have never really punished him. I mean, his ratings went down slightly after rehab, but he's roughly at 80% of his historical peak.
And 80% of his original peak weight, too.
Well, without Oxy, I guess, you know, he's left to his devices.
Yeah, well, what I would say there, Peter, is the problem is what you're expecting is you're expecting a man who's a complete and utter fraud, I mean, just an out-and-out huckster, to come clean on something about his life. And if he were to come clean about the fact that he's a drug addict and he chooses to judge everybody else, and by the way, I only use that, would use that harsh term for him.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people out there who are suffering, who deserve to be getting treatment,
yeah,
not being thrown into prison under stupid mandatory minimums that don't do anything and are racist and a variety of other things. But in his case, he's a guy who can judge others and call for others to be thrown into prison and for the slightest thing. But if you ask him to come clean on that, then where does he come clean on the three divorces and the premarital and outside of marital relations, even though he's supposed to be Mr. Family Values?
Mm-hmm.
You know, where does he come clean on the rest of it? The problem is that he's a hypocrite about everything. That he doesn't really, the truth is, in his private life, he doesn't really stand for any of the stuff that he claims to stand for on the radio. So I would never expect him to come clean about that, because that would just start the ocean flowing, where he'd have to come clean about really the complete fraud that he is.
I withdraw the notion. The concept of him coming clean is a non-starter, and you established that quite well. Here's Joe in Brookings, Oregon. Hello, Joe. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Cliff Schechter. Joe?
I think he hung up when you said Cliff Schechter.
Yeah, he was there. Until...
That's to show you. I'm costing you listeners right now. I just think you should know that, Peter.
Maybe he's an Ohio State fan. Joe, if you want to, call us back. Cliff, this was buried on page A14 of the New York Times today.
Okay.
Brandon Darby, an organizer from Austin, Texas, made the news announcing in an open letter on December 30th that he had worked as an informant for the government during the Republican National Convention, and that he has a role, we're going to learn more about it, in the arrest of two people in St. Paul who were charged with making and possessing Molotov cocktails.
Right.
And this guy, Darby, apparently was linked to a group called Common Ground Relief that surfaced after Hurricane Katrina. And he is now saying that he was an informant over the last two election cycles. And there is some suggestion that he was more of a provocateur. The two guys on the receiving end of this are David McKay and Bradley Crowder of Austin, Texas. They go on trial in Minnesota at the end of the month, and they could face as many as 30 years in prison. And it appears that Darby may have either set them up or simply snitched on them. But this gives us just a little snapshot of some of the techniques that have been used as recently as way back in 2008,
right,
you know, in terms of Republican political dirty tricks.
How very Cointelpro of them, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing is and I think it's what I guess I was saying before, when you turn over each successive stone, I mean, the thing is that every time we get a little bit of a glimpse, whether it was, you know, a Paul O'Neill or a Richard Clark or Scott McClellan or someone else writing a book after they left, or it's something that they say in public that they don't mean to say in public, or Karl Rove loses a disc somewhere and somebody finds it, you know, whatever it is, in a variety of different ways we've gotten a peek into who these people are. And they're every bit as bad as we all thought they were. They're every bit as I don't know, evil, if that's too simple a word. But, I mean, that's the thing, is that you say to yourself, now, maybe I'm just, you know, I'm overanalyzing this, and maybe they're not as bad. And every time you want to have sympathy, as you watch Bush do this round of interviews and try and make himself into the fact that he was Churchill, opposed to what he really was, you know, maybe you say to yourself for a moment, you have a little bit of sympathy, and it just reminds you to not have any.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know how better to put it than that. But
It'll be interesting to see how this one plays out, though, but it could connect to the way the authorities pounded on Amy Goodman and her producers from Democracy Now! There certainly was a huge overreaction in St. Paul around the Republican convention this year.
Right, because they've been infiltrating, this is what they've done illegally, as we know. I mean, I'm sure someday, if this all comes out, and who knows if it will, if it'll be a year from now or 100 years from now, we'll find out what we already know. I mean, that the warrantless wiretapping, as we've already been at, started before 9/11. They're doing it to political enemies. It had nothing to do with terrorists. It's what you suspect. Every time you get a glimpse, you'll know it's true, and you'll know that you had absolutely zero privacy over the last 8 years, particularly if you were anybody that slightly disagreed with the Bush administration.
Well, and this is my number one non-negotiable demand of the Democrats. I want the Fourth Amendment restored. I want both the FISA law and the Patriot Act to be carefully revised so that our Constitution is adhered to and that the fundamentals of the Constitution, including probable cause and a specific warrant in my case, that those must be present before our government can intercept my communications. It's simple and it's non-negotiable.
I agree 100%, and I'll throw in Guantanamo and rendition to any other sites out there, because the whole point is that if we're doing that, then what's all that garbage I learned in school about this, about what my country is supposed to represent?
Yeah.
Because I've always been proud of this country and what we stand for, and see this country as being a place that can be an example. And the truth is that if you're grabbing somebody and sending them to a prison in Egypt somewhere so they can be tortured because you suspect they could have possibly maybe somehow had something to do with something, probably largely because of the color of their skin and their last name, that's not the country I grew up believing in.
Yeah.
And really, at that point, how are we anything that we grew up believing in? I mean, all these things that you're taught about democracy and due process and how our government's supposed to work, none of that makes any sense anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's like suddenly the whole thing doesn't add up anymore.
It's our weekly visit with Cliff Schechter here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Cliff, you got 3 minutes to get back to the game and then come back to us. I want to talk about the Second City Senate follies. Al Franken on his way to Washington if the lawyers don't do too much more work. And
yes.
Also Leon Panetta as the next CIA director. We'll cover that as we continue. Cliff Schechter here with me on the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
Good evening and Happy New Year, everyone. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. Right now on County Road G16 at Los Arbolos, we have a visual traffic hazard on the shoulder. And in Santa Cruz, on southbound Highway 17, on the Granite Creek Drive off-ramp, a vehicle is stuck in the mud and will be getting towed out shortly. And weather, we've got lots of showers tonight with temperatures in the low 40s. Tomorrow will be partly cloudy with highs in the upper 50s. Right now, Monterey is 47 degrees, Salinas is 50 degrees, and Santa Cruz is 47 degrees also. That's your traffic and weather on AM 540. Enjoy your evening and stay with the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
The patient's not responding to the treatment.
I know. That imaginary jingle telling him to go where again?
Coffeetopia.
I've seen this condition before. It is very contagious.
What happened?
Nothing really. Everyone had a cup of coffee and a bagel. Speaking of which, let's go have a cup.
Where should we go?
Coffee, coffee, coffeetopia.
What was that?
And so, it begins again.
For the best coffee, tea, or smoothies in the Monterey Bay Area, visit Coffeetopia. With three locations in Santa Cruz, 37014 Tola Drive near Pleasure Point, 1723 Mission Street on the west side, and the newest Coffeetopia at 1443 Capitola Road in the Live Oak area. Coffeetopia is also the oldest internet cafe in Santa Cruz, with wireless and by-the-minute computer stations. Other places use ice as fillers for their smoothies, but not Coffeetopia. They use all fruit and juices when making their delicious smoothies, and they also feature tropical, high-energy, acai smoothies, bagels, and fresh baked goods.
Coffee, coffee, Coffeetopia.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Politicians may come and go, but for the past 35 years, Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry right here in Monterey. Technically proficient, Dr. Turner specializes in listening to every patient's concerns and feelings, and because Dr. Turner cares about you, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's offices are conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
We're in the home stretch here on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 9 minutes in front of the hour. Lines open if you want to chat with us. 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. Cliff Schechter, political activist, author of The Real McCain, hunkered down in Columbus, Ohio, talking with us here this evening. And, Cliff, last hour we talked with veteran political reporter from Chicago, Dick Kay. And I opened the segment by butchering a tennis metaphor, and I said, advantage Blagojevich. But after talking with Dick and the latest developments in the case, I think I have to switch to, and you can call the metaphor police, but to a chess reference. I think we have checkmate Blagojevich.
Yeah, I mean, it seems to me, no matter what you think, and obviously things don't look very good, and some of the what came out, obviously, from what Fitzgerald's investigation, you know, I mean, if that turns out to be true, as it likely looks like it will, it's utterly ridiculous what he's done. The problem is that, you know, and I'm not a lawyer, but from everything I can see, he has the right to name somebody. He's still the governor.
Yeah.
And he made a brilliant pick in picking an African-American guy who's got a lot of good qualifications.
A little page from the Clarence Thomas playbook.
That's exactly right.
Some insurance there.
Yeah, and so, I mean, in the end, you know, and then he's got Bobby Rush, who's the congressman, standing up, and some people think that's motivated by the fact that Barack Obama challenged him in a primary for his House seat back in 2000. He didn't endorse Obama during his Senate race in 2004, and so there's that maybe, and that just adds more to it. So in the end, Blagojevich, for whatever, I mean, so many people have been saying, coming out and either saying on or off the record and known him behind the scenes that he's not very bright. But, you know, however he came up with this move, from a purely, you know, from a purely objective perspective, it is a brilliant move. I mean,
I have absolutely no evidence, but I'm convinced Karl Rove had a role in this.
Probably, yeah.
It's his kind of move.
It is exactly that. And so I don't know what you do. I mean, it's interesting. I mean, we've seen the Democratic senators get worked up about it. I certainly understand that, I would say I wish that they got as worked out about some of the things the Bush administration has done.
Right.
To be quite frank, but I'm not a lawyer, but I don't know, so I can't say I know every in and out, but I'm not sure what you do with this, you know, how you reject him at this point.
Well, I also think the Senate as a body has a problem because they turned a blind eye to Ted Stevens, David Vitter, and Larry Craig, and, way back there, Ted Kennedy on Chappaquiddick. And so their standards have never been well-defined or enforced. And to try to essentially create a new standard in this bizarre situation puts them in a difficult spot. And by naming a clean-as-a-whistle African-American guy who clearly doesn't owe anything to Blagojevich, they're kind of screwed.
Yeah, I don't know. You're exactly right. I mean, I don't know what else to add to it. I mean, I don't know what they do, and it's exactly, you had a bunch of great cases, but there's so many of them, and they go on and on in terms of the cases where they've ignored impropriety that, again, I don't know. I mean, I haven't, I've tried to almost get away from the story because it's gotten so ridiculous. So I'm not sure if things have come out on Burris and that he's done things that are improper, so there'd be a reason not to.
We don't have anything so far. He's never been indicted, never been investigated, seems to be guilty of arrogance and thinking very highly of himself.
Right. Well, you know, but he and how many other senators, right? He and the 100 others,
yeah.
Or 99 others. I agree, and I hadn't seen anything, so I assume that nothing's come out on that front. And if there isn't, I just don't know how they do. They stop him. People want to argue against his qualifications. Even elected a few times statewide. So I mean, there've been plenty of people who are a heck of a lot less qualified who are sitting there right now.
Mm-hmm.
And had nothing going for them beforehand, except for knowing the right people and being able to raise money and that kind of thing. So, I don't know what you do there, Peter.
Well, Al Franken has been described as certifiable by many people, and today he got certified, pending a 7-day wait period for Norm Coleman to file frivolous lawsuits, which he probably will do.
Well, no, I'm pretty sure actually we won't have to worry about that, because I remember that when the election ended, Norm Coleman said he wanted to save the taxpayers' money, so he didn't think that they should take the election any further, look into it any further. They shouldn't have the recount that's required by law, and therefore should just name him immediately.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, Coleman being such a good steward of taxpayer money, I wouldn't see how now he possibly want to drag this through the legal system. I mean, can you imagine that?
Well, but
that'd be hypocritical. I can't see that happen.
Well, you know, just like Limbaugh coming clean, we can't expect any of this to happen very soon.
And from what I hear, good old Ben Ginsburg, Republican right-wing scumbag lawyer extraordinaire, mm-hmm. who was with the Bush folks in 2000, doing everything he could to gum up the works there and make sure Bush ended up becoming our president, even though the majority of people did not choose him to be so in Florida, too, is also advising Norm Coleman now. So you can only imagine where that's going to take it.
Right. So in Buckeye Land, what do people know about Leon Panetta, and what do they think about Obama picking him to run the CIA?
You know, I haven't heard a lot yet. I mean, that was such a recent thing. I didn't find out until, I want to say, early to mid-afternoon.
Yeah, it snuck up on me, too.
So I'm not sure how long it's been out there, but I haven't heard anything from here. I mean, from other places, the only things I've seen written so far are that he obviously is very competent and, has, you know, and they may need that. Certainly there's some problems with the CIA. Doesn't have an intelligence background.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand where people would say, why that? But maybe there are things I don't know. I haven't had any time to really look at it.
Well, I think it's interesting. On one hand, I'm pleased that he didn't hold over Hayden or any of the old crew or promote somebody who was part of the problem under the Bush team. And Panetta doesn't have any clear background in intelligence. I'm not aware that he was ever on the Intel Committee. He was a budget guy and a budget hawk. And I've known him since the late 80s when he was a congressman from California, chair of the Budget Committee in the House. He chaired those special sessions to knock heads together to try to cut the budget back during the overruns of Bush 1. And on balance, I think he's a good man. He is, however, an insider, a consensus builder, a conciliator. And I feel like we need a head knocker over at the CIA to try to put things back in line. But it is a surprise from Obama, a relief that it's not an insider or, you know, a status quo guy. And I wish him all the best there. He's got a lot of work to do in Langley.
I would say that, too.
All right, Cliff, thank you very much. Back to the game for you. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks so much, Peter.
Cliff Schechter, winding things up for us today on the Peter B. Collins Show. Thanks for listening. Drop me an email, peter@peterbcollins.com.
Keeps
Are you tired of paying $100 an hour for computer support just for the prompt to return? Hi, I'm Luke Ford, founder and CEO of My Computer Works. Whenever you have a major computer catastrophe or a simple question, give my U.S.-based computer technicians a call, and they'll remotely connect your computer and fix the problem for you. It's safe, secure, and you won't have to let a stranger into your home. Call now to receive 1 month of service free with a membership. Now let's hear from some of our satisfied customers.
They cleaned up the computer, and I sat there and watched everything going on. I was just having a ball.
So the convenience of having My Computer Works connect to my computer right then, fix it for me immediately, is priceless.
I was having a lot of major problems with my computer, and they basically evaluated the computer and went through and eliminated the problems I was having.
Call My Computer Works now, toll free, 888-629-9618. That's 888-629-9618. 888-629-9618.
My computer works. Does yours?
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Barack Obama hit the ground running in Washington today. The president-elect huddled with congressional leaders urging speedy action on a big economic stimulus package.
In addition to the 2 million who've lost jobs, so you've got 2.8 million who have moved from full-time work to part-time work. So when you start counting in people who are underemployed, then the situation is very dire for American families.
The proposal could approach $1 trillion. Will Republicans go along? House Minority Leader John Boehner has reservations.
I'm a little concerned myself about the overall size of the package. This is not a package that's ever going to be paid for by the current generation. It's going to be paid for by our kids and grandkids.
Republicans say they favor tax cuts. They're less enthusiastic about spending to rev up the economy. Mr. Obama's choice for CIA director is Leon Panetta, a former California congressman who served as President Clinton's chief of staff. CBS News chief political consultant Mark Ambinder says many in Washington are surprised and some are concerned.
There's a lot of skepticism among veterans of the intelligence community that I've spoken with about the wisdom of choosing someone at this acute time who doesn't have very much experience in those very murky and hard-to-decipher worlds.
Senator Dianne Feinstein, the incoming chairwoman of the Intelligence Committee, says she wasn't consulted and thinks having an intelligence professional would be a better choice. CBS News correspondent Robert Berger in Jerusalem reports the Israeli offensive in Gaza intensified today, as did diplomatic efforts.
French President Nicolas Sarkozy is now in Israel, and he's called for an immediate ceasefire. European Union officials are also here calling for an immediate ceasefire. Thing is that Washington so far isn't pushing Israel that hard. The Israelis feel that they've dealt a severe blow to Hamas, and they want more time to do even more damage.
Gaza hospitals have been overwhelmed with civilian casualties. Tension in the Middle East is raising energy prices. Today, crude oil jumped $2.50 to $48.54 a barrel. Tom Kloza, the Oil Price Information Service, points out it was $35 before Israel started airstrikes in Gaza.
If you look at what wholesale prices have done in the last 11 days, they've actually sort of taken a route that would